Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400. That would be my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. That would be my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have a whole lot of stuff. A whole lot of stuff to talk about. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? Where do we begin? I have a story about George W. Bush that is It's like something out of a twisted sitcom or a twisted Saturday Night Live skit. Like something that people would sit around in their house after a few beers or something and start coming up with the most ridiculous scenarios for Boy George to be in, and just having fun at George's expense. George Bush was, he was, I think they're feeling full of themselves. He went up a few points in the polls. Did a Dick Cheney successfully. Shot somebody, killed somebody. You know, did a Dick Cheney. Feeling kind of full of myself, you know. One of my thugs, you know, one of my boys. One of my boys. You know. And got off about lying. Oh, it's a good day, so I'm ready. I ain't scared. Bush went to the Rose Garden. You know. Got a little kick at time with my girl. Flying over to Iraq, you know, a little kick it time. It's all good, baby. It's all good. Come on, press, bring it on. It's been a great weekend. Been a great week. So, feeling full of himself, Boy George saunters up, struts up, chest out. Ego engaged. Ask me something. He says to the press. One reporter stands up, Mr. President. George Bush looks at him and says, "You gonna take the shades off, son, while you're asking me a question?" Reporter says, "Well, I could take them off." George Bush, you know, you can't pull nothing over this boy's head. Can't pull nothing on. Can't. George Bush looks up at the sky and says, "The sun's not out." The press corps with him. "Go ahead, ask your question, but I don't understand. Take the shades off. Think you a rock star?" "No, George. He's blind. He's blind. That's the dude that has his finger on the button. George Bush making fun of a blind guy who's a reporter. He doesn't know it. He can't figure it out. And he makes a joke at the expense. At the reporter's expense." The reporter's name is Walston. "Way to go, Boy George, way to go." You know, I mean, if it was just this, it would be mean-spirited to bring this up at my boy George's expense. It would be mean-spirited. But what this is, it's not just this. People are dying because Boy George can't tell who's blind, cannot distinguish between the blind and those who can see. You know? This is the guy with his finger on the pulse. strutting his stuff when his approval ratings are in the basement, when America is teetering on bankruptcy, when people can't pay their mortgages, jobs aren't out there to be found. I mean, you can kick it with your girl. I mean, how's Laura going to catch you in Baghdad? Laura ain't going to catch you there. You can, get your bloodlust up, kill somebody, poll numbers up. No, it's on. It's on. Get full of yourself, come back, and ask a blind man to take off his shades, and when he doesn't, you make fun of him. You make fun of him. Oh. This man, it's not just this incident. Let me just remind you of the manner of man Boy George is. Remember this.
Recently, $12.7 billion was cut from education, and I was just wondering, how is that supposed to help our futures?
Education budget was cut. What was cut?
$12.7 billion was cut from education, and I just want to know, how is that supposed to help our futures?
At the federal level?
Yes.
I don't think we've actually, for higher education?
Yes, student loans.
Actually, I think what we did was reform the student loan program.
I take it all back. Now I understand why he couldn't figure out why that man was blind. Understandings come difficult to Boy George. He has a difficult time figuring out a whole lot of stuff. Mm. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Front page of the New York Times. Inflation fears. Inflation fears. On the front page. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. These are amazing times that we are living in, folks. Troubling times. Scary times. Boy George, we live in a time. Where people say horrible things. I was thinking, I was laying in bed thinking about those people that hung themselves. Guantanamo Bay. I was thinking how awful it must have been, and how I was thinking about how this administration said it was great PR. And the callousness of that, the monstrosity of that, the monsterness of that, if there's such a word. And I was thinking about the consistency of that statement. because of the dehumanization of us all. If you break down this administration, I think the word dehumanization, dehumanizing, is really some of the tiny, you know how babies take their first steps? And the directions that they had. And this group of people who wanted access to the White House, the very first steps they took were steps towards dehumanizing us. You can look at Florida. The dehumanizing of the voters. Tens of thousands of people of African descent swept off the polls. Dehumanizing them. They ain't supposed to be voting. They ain't nothing but criminals. We dehumanize them. We get into the White House. We get our groove on after 9/11. We dehumanize an entire race of people, entire ethnic group of people. We dehumanize Muslims. We say, wanted dead or alive. I want him because he tried to kill my daddy. It's dehumanizing. And almost every decision that we make, that this administration makes, is a step towards dehumanizing us. And so it shouldn't come as any surprise, the statements. And I know it's not a surprise, but it's still said, and it's important to comment on. Abu Ghraib, dehumanizing. Halliburton, stealing billions and billions and billions of dollars. No bid contracts, dehumanizing us. The attempt to privatize Social Security, an attempt to dehumanize us. This Medicaid prescription drug. Seniors, the publicity plan is that neighbors will tell neighbors about having to get on one of these plans or be penalized and pay higher drug prices than you are right now. Dehumanizing thousands and over 1,000 different plans for seniors to get be part of, and no time to do it, and dehumanizing us, treating us as things, taking us out of the human experience. And I wish I could say that this the Cheney shooting dehumanized. And I can shoot somebody in the face and the heart. That's my business. Dehumanizing. And I wish I could say that this latest action by this administration, that the assessment by this administration, that the men who hung themselves were a great PR trip. Dehumanizing. I wish I could say that is going to be the culmination of their dehumanizing acts. Oh, but I can't. Fasten your seat belts and duck. There's more to come.
Have to travel. travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? It's Father's Day. Come on, get on down to Sears. Treat your daddy right. Get him a big screen television. He travels a lot. Get him a DVD player. How about he likes to cook a great barbecue? Tools? A refrigerator, a washer, dryer, stove? You can get all your shopping done at Sears for your dad. The blessed best place in town. Sears, Union, and Natural Bridge. When you get on over there, get some of their great deals. Tell them Liz Brown told you to.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 40 between K and Winghaven. Look for an accident on the left shoulder. Eastbound 40 between Winghaven and Weldon Springs. There's an object on the roadway. Appears to be a piece of metal. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Looks good. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for traffic to be building there. Westbound 270 from Newhalls Ferry all the way into 170. Look for some slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and Canal Bridge. Looks good. Southbound 270 at Gravois and Tesson Ferry. Road construction, two right lanes are closed. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations, making traffic a bit of a nightmare there. Westbound 64 5570, you can expect some delays. Northbound Route 3 approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow. Westbound Eads is light and to the roll into downtown. And westbound Kingbridge traffic, expect normal traffic this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners need tires through July 31st. Get a $50 gas card with a purchase of any four new tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit toyotaownersonline.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly sunny, high around 90 today. This evening mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Friday mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. Currently we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 70. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Up next, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Be sure to listen to Joy in Jerusalem each Sunday, time 11 until 12 p.m., with Dr. Evangelist Rosella Burks, presenting Elder William Bailey and Elder Damon Collins, along with other great pastors. Feel the joy every Sunday, time 11 p.m., here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
A dedication to all the refugees worldwide. One time. Say, say, say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Oh, my goodness. We have so much stuff to talk about. It is amazing to me. It is amazing to me that Bush is upbeat about where we are. It's just amazing and scary and frightening and all of those things. Where we are and the enthusiasm that Bush has. The challenges that remain in Iraq are serious, and they will require more sacrifice and patience. What sacrifice of yours? What sacrifice of most people in Congress? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Michael, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
I have a question. Alpha Kali may be gone, but Al Sadr is still around, and nobody hasn't heard a peep out of him about it yet, and I was trying to figure out why.
Well, yeah, and I think that when we look at this, as we're supposed to look at this, we're not supposed to take things on face value. When you look at the status, if you will, that Al-Zarqawi had, we have to look behind that and see if that status was manufactured, was enhanced, was strategically created in order to be able to show success on the part of this administration. Was Al-Zarqawi what the military said, or was the creation of his reputation part of a psyop by the United States military, and the real people, as you just said, are still out there? You know, if you can't catch Al-Sadr, if you can't catch Osama bin Laden, let's go after someone that we've created, that we know where he is, and we can kill him. You feel me?
Oh, you're felt, but I'm not saying anything bad about the man, but I'm saying that Al-Sadr is considered a freedom fighter. He just wants the U.S. out, period.
Okay. But how does this country describe him?
As a terrorist.
That's correct. And they still haven't gotten him, right?
And they're not going to get him.
There you go. All right. Thanks for your call, Michael.
Okay, Liz. See you around.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Flip-flopping W, he makes so many mistakes. I remember you played a sound bite from some speech he was making, and he made two mistakes, and he only spoke about seven words, and he was talking about integrity, and you can't have any appearance of wrongdoing, and he says about laws, and it was just so difficult for him to get the word out in integrity. He said, instead of saying we must obey the laws, he said obey. So it's just at every turn, and not only does he make fun of people, his employees at every level, they make fun of people. I heard a report where they had supposedly rounded up, they said, several thousand of illegal immigrants here, and he said they have named this operation Return to Sender. And they just make fun of people at every opportunity, and if you pay attention, some of those operations that they have going on in Iraq, they have these fun-making names of the Iraqi people in that statement. So it's him and his employees. It's from the top of the snake all the way down.
Thanks.
So just pay attention. It's not just him.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning.
Mr. Bush's more sacrifices, more limbs, more bodies. What sacrifices are him and his oil company buddies making?
Can't name a one.
Like the fellow with the outlandish salary last year.
Can't think of a one.
Yeah, that's it's all right to ask other people to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
For other...
No, not ask. Demand and make it happen.
Yeah, and then tell them how good it is that they're losing their arms and legs,
mm-hmm,
and their sons and,
mm-hmm,
daughters.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful that you're defending our country for what and from whom.
Why aren't your daughters there?
He's got two daughters. Why aren't they at least volunteering to help?
No, why aren't they in
the medical field?
No, why aren't they in the military? Why haven't they joined the reserves?
Yeah, they've made no sacrifices at all.
Do like your daddy, join the reserves.
Yeah, oh boy, don't get me started. Have a good week.
All right, you too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me, Sandy.
Hi, I was wondering, did you happen to watch any of C-SPAN last night when they were having discussions on this resolution that's supposed to be voted on today in the House of Representatives?
Which resolution?
It's the resolution actually backing the Iraq war, and the wording of it puts it into the context of that this is a front on the war on terrorism. It's,
huh?
It's worded in such a way that if you don't support this resolution, then you are supporting terrorism.
Uh-huh.
And what I was wondering is, it's trying to put the Democrats in a position where they have to support this war.
Mm-hmm. Or they feel that they have to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know all the parliamentary rules, but could every Democrat issue a no vote? You see on the columns it says yes, no, and then it has NV for no vote.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they could, and they're fearful of being painted as a no vote on it.
Yeah, but see, if they voted in block as a no vote,
mm-hmm,
then they would be saying, or they could be allowed to come out and say that they support the troops. See, this is what the whole bottom line is. But they do not support this war, and they do not consider it the front on terrorism.
Well,
I mean, the points are so easy.
Well,
I
guess...
It's only been like 2 weeks ago that the people were arrested for terrorism plots in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to say that you're fighting a war on terrorism and it's located in Iraq, that is nonsense.
Well, the Democrats should not vote at all and call this a sham. That's what they should. They should say, I'm not voting on this. This is a sham. You don't support the troops because if you did, blah, 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 blah. You don't support the, and I don't support this war. I don't support this war. If this vote will be interpreted as I support the war vote, I don't. And you're not going to box me in. My record is clear. I've always distinguished about the troops. I don't support this war. Get out my face.
That's right. That would be.
I don't support this war. And if
either
you
to not vote in block. Mm-hmm. Or do a no voting.
You know, Democrats need to stand up and say, I don't support this war. I don't support the money that we're spending on it. I don't support the troops. I mean, I support the troops.
That's,
you know, I mean, that, just say it.
That's right. That's,
and be done with it and quit allowing them to box you in. And that's Karl Rove for you.
Well,
that smells like a turd.
In the House of Representatives.
No. What I'm saying is that I bet you, because it smells like a turd blossom, I bet you the resolution was written by Karl Rove, directed by Karl Rove, and endorsed by Karl Rove.
Right.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips that their volunteer servers can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits Soulard Restoration.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Manchester. White House advisor Karl Rove spoke at a fundraiser in New Hampshire last week. State Republicans needed to freshen up their finances because of legal fees concerning a lawsuit by Democrats that allege Republican operatives engaged in jamming telephone lines on Election Day 2002, and that prevented Democrats from getting the vote out at the last minute. Three people have been found guilty in that case. About 500 people paid $100 a person for the Rove dinner, and others paid $250 to have a private audience with Rove as part of their dinner entertainment. And Dateline Raleigh. The Southern Baptist denomination is considering adopting a resolution urging members to pull their children from public schools. Southern Baptists are holding their annual convention in North Carolina this week, and a committee report is to be issued on the subject during their gathering. Roger Moran of Troy, Missouri, is on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist group, and he says the members are commanded by the Bible to train their children in the nurture of the Lord. He said everything he believes as a Bible-believing Christian is not allowed to be taught in public schools. A similar resolution was put forward 2 years ago but did not pass. The denomination has always supported private and homeschooling efforts, but has never before been this critical of public schools. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, I'm Roy DeBose from Roy's Transmission.
This is Willie Stebney of Stebney Bose Auto Body.
Join Roy DeBose and Willie Stebney for the Community Repair Answer Hour, Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. We will feature experts to answer your questions on all types of repair. Join us Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m.
Information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy. None of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, 1-877-920-WDNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to talk about this gay marriage thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm against it because it's not natural. And those people are sick.
Well, here's the thing. Then don't do it. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you think something is wrong, and it's a choice, then don't do it.
Well, I'm not gay.
Well, then what are you worried about? I mean, don't you think that out of all of the things for our government to be concerned about and to be focused on and to be worrying about changing the Constitution, they're not asking to change the Constitution to give children enforceable rights from birth until adulthood. They're not changing the Constitution to make discrimination, to ensure that people are not discriminated against. They're trying to change the Constitution about something that the ones that are advocating against it will never do. Don't you think that our government has better things to do than to focus on that, Mike? Do you think that that should be a priority?
No, we got a lot more things.
There you go. And it's a private matter. And here, let me just ask you this: whether you think that it is unnatural or whatever, the fact of the matter is that it exists, and there are people who have been together for 20, 30, 40 years. And let me ask you this: do you think it is fair? Because someone like yourself doesn't think it's natural. If a person has been with another person for 20, 30 years, do you think it's fair that a hospital will say, you can't come in and sit at this person's side when they're dying because you're not married to them or you are not legally connected to this person? Do you think that's fair?
No.
And so what a lot of people that are advocates of or want to have same-sex marriages or same-sex unions, what they're looking for is the ability to be able to include their partner on their health care plan, to be able to have access to things like what I just described, that's what they're asking for. Nobody, I don't want to know what's going on in your bedroom with your wife, with your significant. I'm not trying to find that out, and I don't think that any of us should be trying to find out what's going on in people's bedrooms.
Well, since you said it like that, it's really nobody's business.
There you go, Mike. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Car phone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, with this decision with Carl Rowe, you know, I heard a caller call up and ask you if you think you should apologize to Carl Rowe. I've heard it on, you know, it seems to be the Republican mantra. But something about that just sticks with me. Now, I'll go into some really ancient history here. Did anybody ever apologize to O.J. Simpson?
No.
No. Matter of fact, these same type of people are going to, you know.
No, they say that he's guilty.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? A jury cleared O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess for what it's worth, they cleared Carl Rove.
A jury hasn't cleared anything.
Well, the
grand jury hasn't cleared. The grand jury didn't make the decision. The prosecutor made the decision not to pursue. You know, it's not the same as a jury verdict. What O.J. Simpson received was a trial. I mean, the evidence was there. People looked at the evidence. We saw the evidence. It wasn't anything that the jury saw that we did not have access to and couldn't see. And then they made the decision of his innocence. Carl Rove, we didn't get to see any of that. The only thing that we heard was the prosecutor saying, "I'm not going to pursue an indictment." He hasn't been cleared about anything.
Well, anyway, like I said, that has been sticking with me. And one last comment on this resolution. I mean, why don't they put an asterisk next to it and say impeach?
Yep.
I mean, that's what we should be discussing.
That's right. That's right. That's
Thanks
right.
Very much.
All right. Thank you. Mildred.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Is all this stuff about the Southern Baptists is true? That they're going to start fiddling around now in education? You know, they've ridden homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
They've ridden abortion.
Uh-huh.
Now they've jumped over into the educational system. All they're doing is adding to the problems in this country. And I want to say this too, Liz. If they're supposed to be the messengers that God said, "I want you to be," they better go over there to Isaiah chapter 55, and God tells humankind, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." So they better weigh what they say and act like they have good sense. I saw that mess called a news conference yesterday. I don't think George Bush was upbeat. I think he was putting on a facade because he was celebrating Karl Rove's being let off the hook. That's all this was about, traveling over into Iraq. They have dehumanized Osama bin Laden. They have dehumanized Saddam Hussein, al-Zarqawi, and they want to cut this stuff over here to us and tell us that these people are not human. And I've heard them say that. So I thank you, Liz.
All right. Listen, folks, I am the Lou, coming straight at you, Irene J. Smith. Stay with me.
All over the world, Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty,
disease and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Should the U.S. set a date to bring home the troops from Iraq? Both houses of Congress will debate the issue today. More from ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill.
Building on the president's trip to Iraq, House Republicans are pushing a resolution that declares the U.S. will finish the mission there and win the war on terror. House Democrats call the move political, but booing of Senator Hillary Clinton at a meeting of progressive Democrats here in Washington exposed deep divisions within the Democratic Party on the issue of what to do next in Iraq.
Iraq's new government says the decision may not be Washington's to make. The National Security Advisor says many national forces will be out by the end of the year. All will be gone by the end of 2008. More than 10,000 coalition troops are in a huge anti-Taliban operation today in southern Afghanistan. Suspected militants, meanwhile, continue their attacks there. A bomb killed 7 people riding a bus to a coalition base. A stay at a hospital is safer these days. A new study says there are fewer lethal mistakes in the nation's largest facilities. That, however, does not apply to the emergency room. ABC's Jim Hickey with details of a study out today.
On television, emergency rooms often are in chaos, seemingly on the verge of collapse. It turns out that's not too far from the truth. A 2-year study by the Institute of Medicine says the nation's ER system is overburdened, underfunded, and highly fragmented. ER rooms are overcrowded, not enough beds, barely able to handle the normal stream of patients, let alone a major disaster. The Institute says Congress should set federal standards for ER care.
Give me a blood pressure.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
10 hospitalized, 3 dead. Health officials in Texas are concerned about an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in San Antonio. This is the scary part. The virus could be the hospital itself, the source of the virus, that is. Legionnaires' disease is contagious, and it is sometimes fatal. This is ABC News.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness. With the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit-forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
Big at Office Depot and the latest technology for Father's Day. Come into Office Depot today for great savings like $50 off all Cameron printer bundles and $150 off 15-inch LCD flat panel monitors, both after mail-in savings. Plus, save up to $300 on select notebook computers. Get Dad the hottest technology at low prices, all at Office Depot.
Taking care of business at Office Depot.
Available in-store only while supplies last, quantities limited.
So far, so good for now formerly conjoined 10-month-old twins. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
It took 80 doctors and nurses working in shifts to do the job. Regina and Renata Salinas Fierros each had 2 legs, but faced each other all their lives with fused breastbones, livers, intestines, and pelvises. The timing was perfect, though. At this age, their bones and tissues are still easy to move, but they were old enough to deal with the anesthesia. Their lives will change now, including being able to use 2 strollers instead of what they have used, a radio flyer wagon filled with pillows. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Ask most dads what they want for Father's Day, and they'll tell you more time at home. 4 out of 10 working fathers tell CareerBuilder.com that they would be Mr. Mom if their spouses made enough money to support the family. Most Americans say they'd let nature decide, but most foreigners say they would prefer to choose the sex of their children. Chinese parents want boys, Canadians girls. Sex selection is outlawed in most countries. It's legal in the U.S., but it is new technology, not completely accurate, and very expensive. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, charges could come today in the murder of a Granite City man. 44-year-old Alan Curtis was found bludgeoned to death Tuesday night at his home on Edison near 21st Street. Curtis was partially paralyzed because of a brain aneurysm he suffered 18 years ago. A suspect is in custody, but his name hasn't been released. Investigators haven't been able to find the cause of a house fire in Chesterfield. The fire started in the garage of a home in the 14,700 block of Mill Spring Drive yesterday afternoon. The home was extensively damaged, but everyone inside, including a family pet, got out safely. Finally this hour, the statute of limitations won't keep sex abuse victims from getting justice through the courts anymore. Barbara Doris, the outreach coordinator for the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says the Missouri Supreme Court did the right thing by allowing more civil child molestation cases involving repressed memories.
It gives them a chance to come forward to seek justice for the harm that's been done to them. It also gives us a chance to expose the predators, many of whom are still active and still, we fear, molesting children.
The court's ruling involved a St. Louis man who says he recovered his repressed memories of abuse during treatment for brain cancer. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Westbound 40 between K and Winghaven. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident in the median. Eastbound 40 at Winghaven and Weldon Springs. Slow traffic due to an accident in the median as well. Westbound 270 at McDonald Boulevard is a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked and traffic slowing near Lindbergh. Eastbound 44 at 141 in the soccer park. Look for everything to be on the move. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes 79. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170, slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays due to some road construction and the right lane is closed. Eastbound lanes, the right lanes on the Poplar Street Bridge are also closed this hour. Everything else, you can expect some delays going on to the bridges in downtown area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny. 40% chance of showers with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city.
city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here in the studio with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
Where do we begin this morning, Irene? Let's take a walk back, if you don't mind. Let's take a walk back over the weekend. There was a forum. I guess they're trying to get away from the word debate. They're calling them forums nowadays. Tell us about this forum.
The Organization of Black Struggles had a community forum for fourth senatorial candidates on this past Sunday. And Percy Green and myself were the moderators. All candidates were present. Amber Borkins, though she arrived maybe about 30 or 40 minutes before the forum was over, she did get there.
And I wasn't there because I had tickets to Dreamgirls. So I had tickets to Dreamgirls, so I missed it. So tell us about some of the observations, some of your observations about the forum itself, the candidates. What did you learn? What did you see?
It was interesting. As I was telling you earlier in the week, in my opinion, Yathaba Omain, the state representative from the 57th District, because she, to me, probably is the superior speaker, came over better than some of the other speakers, followed by probably Jeff Smith. But what was interesting...
Now, is that an endorsement?
No, that's not an endorsement. Okay. I'm just telling you the way she presented herself.
Okay.
She, little sister can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yaphet Elamine can talk.
Mm-hmm.
She has good presence, and she delivered very well. Although what was interesting, because you want to get to an interesting point, what was interesting toward the end, there was a young brother who asked the question about people in the community being concerned, and this question was posed to Representative Elamine and Representative Borkins about their legacy or dynasty with both having their husbands running for their seat.
Are you trying to build a dynasty?
Right, are you trying to be? And it was very interesting as they gave their closing remarks. Neither Representative Elamine nor Representative Borkins commented on it. They just...
There was also some folks that I've talked to too that were present at the discussion. That while you know the oratory ability of Elamine was observed, but also there was another component to her delivery that people observed. What was
yeah,
that?
The other thing that people observed, and this really took away from the forcefulness of her speaking, was when the other candidates, and particularly Kenneth Jones, when he would speak the eye rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people commented about it. A couple of the seniors commented to me about it. The other thing that kind of...
Wait a minute, just a little bit. Eye rolling. You're talking about she was making faces type of a thing when other people that she didn't disagree with were talking.
Right.
Okay.
that she disagreed with,
mm-hmm.
Were talking. And a couple of seniors commented about that. The other thing was the comment about the 5th Senatorial District being a black district that needed to be brought home.
Mm-hmm.
And several individuals who are obviously her opponents and have been, such as Perry May, mm-hmm. and her daughter, you know, the comment was made, well, it wasn't a black district when O.L. Shelton was running, so how dare you? And I guess for me, if you would have to say a slip, something that you could have, should have avoided saying, I believe that was something that she should have just avoided saying, because basically what you had there, with very few exceptions, and the exceptions were primarily supporters that came with Jeff Smith,
mm-hmm.
it was predominantly an African-American audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was gained by that other than maybe, I don't know, some emotionalism. I don't know. But I think that that could be very damaging to her,
mm-hmm.
because there were reporters there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, as all of the candidates seemingly are campaigning throughout the district, mm-hmm. she's going to be back in South St. Louis, to some audiences that may not be all African American.
So the danger that you see in saying that it's a black district and must be brought home, I guess you really, if you believe that, and if you're going to stand on that, and if that is going to be a campaign issue of you, you know, I guess it could be a campaign issue of her, and if she's going to take that message south as well, because this is when we talk to people out in the field out here, Irene, when we're out here trying to take the political pulse of what's happening with this highly watched race out here, one of the issues that keeps coming up time after time after time when we talk about Yaphet is I'm hearing the word flip-flop. I'm hearing the word not standing on the issue. So if you're going to make that an issue, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we're seeing a little John Kerry stuff going on here. At least that's what people are saying. And these are friends. Some
right.
friends of hers are saying this to me. And other people that are constituents out here, are you going to take that message to South St. Louis? And if you're not, shouldn't you be concerned about that flip-flopping or scheming type of a campaign?
Right. And relative to that same point, there were individuals that came up to me after the forum, you know, because we had a social time after that and dinner, and they said, well, I thought Representative El-Amin was pro-life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she indicated, you know, as many of us do, you know, I'm pro-life for me, you know, but basically gave an answer to me that indicated that she was pro-choice.
Or at least supportive of the pro-choice position.
Supportive of the pro-choice position.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and I wasn't at the forum in South St. Louis, so I don't know what she said. You know, people said, well, in South St. Louis, it was sounded like she said she was pro-life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And again, people that I've talked to, constituents out there, non-constituents, friends out there have all also, because I pursued an answer to that question as well, they've said she's Muslim, she's pro-life. You know, so again, this is the concern out here of how are you coming across as a candidate? How are people perceiving you? Do your words match your walk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a big issue, because there are organizations out here that give money based on you pro-choice, and we don't mean any waffling on this issue.
Exactly. And then you have the issue for some people, you know, they commented, you talk about observations. It's like, okay, they said, well why was Amber Barkins late? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to me. She said, you know, I had made a previous commitment. I had a new member of the Lynx being inducted, so I had to go to that induction.
And okay, you've run for office, okay? You have isn't don't you when you are in a run for office, don't you kind of prioritize and strategize and think about the issue, the places that you need to be? Because in all fairness to all of the candidates, they have got to have a lot of conflicts going on in the scheduling.
Exactly.
So how would you assess the
I would assess this. Initially, I believe, in fairness to Amber, I think initially she felt that the Organization of Black Struggle was committed to endorsing Yaphet.
But I had Jamila Rogers on for Justice
Jamala.
For Reggie. I'm sorry, Jamila Rogers on for Justice for Reggie, and she said that the organization had not. And I'd also heard that, too, and that's why I asked her the question, because I had heard, too, the people were saying, well, why go, because they've already made up their mind. But, again, you've run for office. You've been successful in that. You've been a successful alderwoman. Do you go to forums where it's your understanding, or should you go to forums where you believe, well, you know, they're going to give their endorsement anyway? Did you go?
I think, yes. I mean, you have to. And because, you know, even though the organization may give an endorsement, there are other people out there that you can favorably impress, or they can get information about you and can cause them to weigh it. So I think it's important that you go to as many forums as possible. The other thing that was interesting was Gambaro. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was there.
Dario Gambaro, he was there.
He was there and was there for the entire time, the entire scheduled time of the forum. And, of course, he had to leave. And there was an interesting point, and Representative El Amin really got him when I asked the question about local control of the police department and residency. He tried to, like, waffle on it, and she slammed him by saying, you know, when we were down at the board of police commissioners, you know, you testified in favor of the police officers being able to move out of the city of St. Louis. And then he tried to answer the question, well, I think it should be a vote on the issue, you know, just like he supported A, B, C, and D. His position was like, the people ought to decide, and then Representative El Amin came back and said, well, we've had a referendum that where 79% of the people in the city of St. Louis said they want police to live in the city. So it kind of slammed. Former Alderman Kenneth Jones, you know, Ken has all this long history and very oratorial and has a lot of knowledge, you know, and he talked a lot about collaboration and, you know, crossing over and making sure that we form alliances and collaborations and things of this sort. At one point, there gets to be this really kind of discussion between Perry May's daughter, Carla May, who's running for the 57th state rep seat, where they got into a thing about unions. And she was very, you know, I'm from corporate America and unions are great. And I've been with the CW, Communication Workers Union. So that got really, really thing. The interesting thing.
That got really what?
It got really kind of involved and a little sticky and kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Why is that?
Because, actually, the sister comes across as arrogant. The sister meaning Carla May. Mm-hmm. She comes across as very arrogant and not very grounded. So that rubbed people the wrong way.
Gotcha.
And then there was this discussion that the discussion about unions, for the most part, prior to her question and arrival, had really centered on organized labor and in the construction industry, and we know that that's a very racist industry.
Well, the electricians union as well. I mean, there are a lot of unions out here that have a dismal, awful.
Exactly.
I saw what happened at the school board last night, our school board meeting the night before last, where we had union people coming up and saying, we want to keep Sodexo, you know, at the expense of our children, at the expense of our school. So, yeah, we anybody that has their eye, one eye open should be able to see that.
Right. So that was interesting. Again, you know, I think Jeff Smith was trying to make the point that, you know, I support charter schools in a very limited capacity as a pilot. But I am strongly in support of public schools.
What on earth does that talk about your waffle, your wiffle waffle? What does that mean? I support only my school? I mean,
pilots
what does
on
that
a
mean?
Limit. He said that he strongly supports public schools, that he is vehemently against vouchers and tax credits. Mm-hmm. He believes it violates the Constitution and that it hurts public schools.
Why?
It would take money away from schools.
Takes money away from public schools, and that's why he doesn't like vouchers. Well, isn't that an inconsistent position, since charter schools take money away from public schools.
Now, this is the I'm going to play devil's advocate. His position is charter schools are public schools because they are open to the public, to individuals who otherwise might go to the so-called traditional public school, and therefore it is not taking away money.
So then,
wait.
I'm going to stop right there, okay? So the bill that the St. Louis public schools get that they didn't have 10 years ago, that they didn't have 15 years ago, the bill that they get for the operation of charter schools, they should ignore because it's already a public school, right?
No, they shouldn't ignore the money's going to come out of their pot. And what he's saying is just like money comes out of the pot, say, for Cleveland, say, for any other school. It's a public school, but it's not subject to and under the auspices of the St. Louis Board of Education.
But wait a minute. If it is a public school, then why don't the students have to, test the way that public school students have to do? Why don't the teachers have to, have the same qualifications as public schools? Why don't they have to follow the same curriculum guidelines as, the other public schools if they are a public school?
It's a pilot. It's just a limited pilot.
Well,
and the other thing that I found interesting, because I had gone that morning and looked on DESE's website specifically to see how Confluence Academy. Now, he indicated that they had met their annual yearly progress, but DESE's website indicates otherwise.
Isn't that interesting?
So I'm like, okay. And one of the things, the forum was good because it gave an opportunity for people to ask questions, but one of the limiting things, and that's because of time constraints, there wasn't a lot of follow-up on the part of the moderators that we could really ask questions. But he says it's just a pilot.
But it's not, and I guess the concern that I have when people, you're running for an office that to represent everybody, okay? You're running to engage all people, all things, and the reality of the educational world is that charter schools are not just a pilot. There's a multi-million dollar bill that the St. Louis Public Schools has to pay every year that we've had these charter schools out here. It's not a pilot. So if he just supports pilots, is he running on the issue that I'm going to pass legislation to reduce the number of charter schools that we have to two? You know, I mean, what's a pilot? You know, explain to me what a pilot is, because the debt, the bill that we have that comes out of our budget is paid by the public school, and it is paid as a debt, not as part of the educational process.
Exactly. And I mean, when that's the thing. You said, okay, I'm trying to narrow it, and I believe that the narrowing is coming up because there is a great deal of people in the community that are opposed to charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are a lot of individuals that support charter schools,
mm-hmm.
but I think from a political standpoint, a campaigning standpoint,
or a polling standpoint,
it does him well if he says, well, I support public schools, I'm against vouchers, I'm against charters.
Or he believes it does him well to be able to narrow them.
To narrow it. Mm-hmm. I believe he thinks that it does him well to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of taking the pulse of the people that left the forum, where do you think people felt like they got anything, or were people, did people appear, I mean, your little exit poll of folks as they're leaving?
Well, as I was talking to some people, I think there were some people that Representative Ellemain got to, that believe staunchly in her position. So as I indicated, she's a very strong speaker and has very strong presence in her delivery. She tended to answer the majority of the questions. So you saw individuals leaving with Ellemain signs.
Mm-hmm.
There were some people that were still not very convicted. In fact, there were a few individuals that said, you know, I don't even feel like I got much of a choice to vote for anybody in this race. I don't see any of them. But there was clearly, I think, a number of individuals that came away with Ellemain's yard signs,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
And it we're going to talk about this more. We have to take a break, and we'll get to some callers, but we're going to continue this conversation. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Lou. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Well, it's Father's Day this Sunday. Father's Day this Sunday, you need to get on down to Sears and get your dad something wonderful. A television set, a big one, or a DVD player for his travels. How about a barbecue grill? How about some tools he's been pining for? Get all the stuff that you need for your dad and get him at a great, great, great price, and you don't have to go out to the mall to do it. Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello out there, Radio Land. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Westbound 40 between K and Wing Haven, slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 55 at Mattis, there's an injury accident, and right shoulder traffic is blocked all the way back to near Butler Hill Road. Westbound 270 at Lindbergh, stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier stalled vehicle. Westbound 270 at Lilac, there's an accident on the left shoulder, and traffic is slowing around Riverview. Northbound 270 at Teton Ferry and Marshall Road, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at New Florissant and 170 is slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 70 is slow from T.R. Hughes all the way through 79. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow this hour due to paving operations going on in both east and westbound lanes on the Poplar Street Bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Carpenter ants love the rain. It tenderizes your wood. Don't worry. The Orkin man's been fighting these invasions for over 100 years. So protect your home, protect your family. For help, call 1-800-THE-ORKINMAN. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny with a high around 90 today. Mostly clear this evening with a low in the lower 70s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s, and Saturday, partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers, the high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies. Our temperature is right at 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
For the issues that matter most to you, huh, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and this is Eye on the Lou. And before we get back to Irene and Eye on the Lou, I want to let everybody know that there's a wonderful opportunity for them this weekend. Tiger Woods is going to be playing this weekend. Why shouldn't you? Get on over to the FIRE, 4th Annual Golf Tournament at Grand Marias Golf Club out there in East St. Louis, Saturday. Here's the deal. All of the money goes to the FIRE charitable fund. How much does it cost? Well, entry fee per person is $70. What does that include? Green fee, a cart, tournament prizes, food and beverages. You can't beat it with a stick. For more information, 393-3231. The FIRE 4th Annual, that's the FIRE Charitable Fund, 4th Annual Golf Tournament, Saturday, East St. Louis at the Grand Marias Golf Club. Be there. Irene, one of the things that we've been talking about, and, you know, it really just seems to have everybody's, captured everybody's imagination and captures everybody's observations, but doesn't seem to have captured anybody's, a whole lot of people's passions, except for the candidates. We have a great, of the fourth, that's the fourth senatorial race, we have an incredible sign war that is going on. And we have
pretty much in North St. Louis.
Although I was, I went a little south yesterday, Kings Highway, down in the Grand area where the Kinka, where the copying place is, and I saw a few Elamine, a few Boykins, a few signs there. So it's creeped up to that place, but it's pretty much a north side battle. You and I had reported a few weeks ago about this push-pull that was conducted by what we believe to be the Jeff Smith campaign, based upon what people, the person has said. As a result of that, there's a copy we have.
Right. What happened is after the forum on Saturday, you know, during the social time, Jeff Smith sought me out and indicated to me that he had heard the show. And he, you know, said that he did not conduct any type of push-pull that asked whether or not Yaphet El-Amin or Jamil Nasheed had anything in common, whether or not they were Muslim or anything of that sort. And I said, well, we indicated it was reported to us. He said, but no, by the end of the show, we were saying that he actually had a push-pull that referred to Yaphet El-Amin and Jamil Nasheed.
Raised the Muslim issue,
mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he said that he didn't, and he offered as proof mm-hmm. to forward to me mm-hmm. the actual poll that was conducted back in April.
May 2nd.
Okay, May 2nd. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it looks like April 2006, maybe it is May 2nd, 2006, mm-hmm. you're right, for the 4th Senatorial District Democratic primary. And he forwarded to me, it's about 7 pages, and we, you know, I went through it, and according to what was sent to me mm-hmm. By, I guess, this momentum analysis, it's termed, there is no question at all regarding, you know, Muslim or mm-hmm. raising the issue of relative to Yaphet El-Amin being Muslim and Jamila Nasheed, the candidate in the 60th state rep district, is not mentioned at all.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't, and again, the information that we reported on the show is what somebody on the phone said was asked of them. And I guess it's one of those things that, yes, this
appears to be a list of some of the questions. There's no way of telling whether or not this is a complete packet. There is no way of telling, and no way of telling that there was additional information. There's no way of knowing if there were some specific questions that were asked of the fourth. But we don't know that. What we have is what he's given us, and I can, to me, it looks like specifically that there's some incomplete information on here, and I imagine that you don't want to give out all of your numbers and all of the things, because all of the numbers for the negative questions that were asked about Jeff Smith, I don't see specific responses to those questions, to all of the questions that were asked.
Exactly. I just think basically, I guess he just called himself forwarding to me basically the what he says is a complete survey, mm-hmm. and some of the analysis mm-hmm. of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what he gave you a couple of copies of, because I've had a chance to look at this and analyze this too. I think that there are a couple of stories that come out of this. One of my concerns about the Jeff Smith candidacy is his position on education. And the other piece of it is this whole wearing my race on his sleeve is problematic to me as well. But let's talk about the education piece of it. I got an email earlier this week, and an email that was came from the brother of Howard Dean. The brother of Howard Dean is Jim Dean, and he is head of Democracy for America. And I was very, very troubled by this, because in this, it's a form letter that goes out to supporters. And in this, Jim Dean said, is basically endorsing Jeff Smith as a progressive. And to me, this is very, very, very troubling. Irene, you and I have talked about this, about the relationship of the Democratic Party with black folks. Here we have a progressive organization, an outstate progressive organization, inserting itself into a Democratic primary.
Exactly.
And suggesting that this young white male is the best progressive. Now, Jim Dean could know at this point, or should know at this point, is that there are three people of African descent in this race. There's an African man. There are two African women in this race. And if the numbers are correct about what Yaphet El-Amin said, that this is a 50-50 district.
Jim, 52%.
52% African district.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Dean, as a progressive, should also know that there is only one state senator of African descent in this region. I mean, on this side of the state, there's only one. So
Maida Coleman.
And that would be Maida Coleman, and she's up after next term. So shouldn't the progressives be concerned about, or at least articulate a concern about, we need more people of African descent as a progressive? What is it about Jeff Smith, from their perspective, that makes him more progressive than three black candidates that are in this race? And also, secondly, that is truly troubling to me is that in this letter from Jim Dean, he's sanitized what Jeff Smith's educational record is. There's no word of charter. Little charter or what was the word that Jeff?
Pilot.
Pilot charter in this endorsement by Jim Dean. That they sanitized his record on that. And that's also problematic for me as a person that defines myself as a liberal. That here we have this so-called liberal group inserting itself into a primary race and choosing finding a white male in the midst of, because how many times do we have three black people running for an office of this stature?
And not only that, three black people, all of which mm-hmm. who have legislative experience.
All of them.
All of which. Two of which who have had legislative experience on the state level.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, people probably are tired of talking about redistricting, but I won't be. Historically, the Democrats have always tried to minimize and reduce the amount of political power that African Americans have. So it's not surprising. But as you indicate, in this form letter that he's emailing out
to progressives out there, they don't mention that there are three black people in this race. Three of them, a male and two females.
All of which have been staunch Democrats.
All of them, you know, would articulate themselves as Democrats. You know, and the other piece of this is that, let's come home on this, because this is I on the Lou. We have this Gene Carnahan relationship,
exactly.
Bob Holden relationship, redistricting Dick Gephardt relationship,
exactly.
With the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
And so what this type of support, from my perspective, can do is once again remind people of African descent, you know what, we're going to stand down. When you come, because the same folks are going to be coming to us in November saying, kick George Bush's behind, put a Democrat in there. But these are the same people that interjected themselves into a local primary race to the support of a white, they went and found a white male to support.
Exactly. And it's interesting because historically, we understand that this is a separate, you know, organization from the Democratic Party, Democracy for America. But historically, the statement has always been, well, we don't want to get involved in the primary.
There you go.
You know, whoever wins the primary, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to put money, even though folks are filtering money through various individuals to different candidates historically.
So this is ugly. This is ugly. The sanitized record is ugly, and the fact that they've interjected themselves in there when there are three black people in the race, that's problematic, and I predict it's going to come back to harm them. We're going to take a break. I am the Lou. We'll be right back at you. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving, long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works to the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. The Marine Corps is investigating a music video that has appeared on the Internet and tells the story about a Marine killing members of an Iraqi family. The four-minute video is titled Haji Girl and depicts a Marine singing in front of a cheering audience. Lyrics say the woman's family were gunned down after they pulled automatic weapons on the Marine. A Marine Corps spokesman says they are aware of the video, but it is considered to be inappropriate and contrary to the standards of the Corps. However, they're not sure who the singer is or if he is even a real Marine. The lyrics go on to describe the Marine placing the woman's sister in front of him as family members shoot at him and the blood sprays from her body.
It then concludes with him blowing them all to eternity. We have a portion of the audio from that video with the obscenities edited out.
Then I hid behind the TV and I locked and loaded in my M16. I blew those little girls to eternity. And I said, should've known they were with
this is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
The sweet sounds of music
and glorious songs of inspiration broadcast
has been a Sunday morning tradition in St. Louis
for over 30 years. We bring you the best loved songs on the gospel scene.
Plus late-breaking church news.
Words of inspiration.
And, well, just a whole lot of fun.
Join me, Evangelist Stella Norrie.
And me, Brother Mel St. Clair, Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m.
Here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with Pastor Charles Hilton every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at WGNU Radio 920 AM dial.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. And Irene, I know you want to make some other observations about this, but can I just make one more quick thing? I want to tie up the Jim Dean piece of it. I would be remiss if I did not add to this discussion about Jim Dean, the head of a Democracy for America. Jim Dean is Howard Dean's brother, which means that Howard Dean, I want to remind everybody, Howard Dean is the chairman of the Democratic Party. We talk about all the time about how, you know, we look, people act a certain way if that's how everybody in the organization acts. While these are two different organizations, one has to make the connection that how is it that a progressive organization could insert itself into a race where there's only one black senator in the entire region of Missouri and find the one white candidate that they support. Also, we need to make the connect. If we're going to say, well, is this how Howard Dean operates as well, and what impact will that have? Howard Dean is coming to the city of St. Louis. He's coming in July for this, collegiate Democrats organization. And you make plans when you come to a place like St. Louis and any other place that you go. You sit down with people. You don't just come in for the event. You meet with people. Howard Dean has not, he's agreed to sit down with Democrats here in the state of Missouri, or in the city of St. Louis, but he's not agreed to sit down with any of the black elected officials or the black caucus or any of the black folks. So you have to ask the question, maybe this is just the way that they roll.
Maybe it is, or maybe they're just saying we're going to sit down with Democrats, and maybe he's going to say if there's some black folks involved in that, that's fine. If not, he's not going to seek them out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, and that goes, rolls kind of in, and you did want to make the point about the cost of the charter school.
Well, let's get to the, if you wanted to make those points, then I'm going to tie that charter school piece in.
One of the things that's interesting about Jeff Smith is he has said that his top priority is encouraging racial cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, as we indicated during the break, what is racial cooperation?
What does that mean?
To me, normally what it means is black folks get in step with what us liberal whites have decided what is in your best interest,
mm-hmm.
which is usually quite often one of us leading the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And if racial cooperation from my perspective, if that was your top priority, then to me it would seem like you could find one of these three black candidates to support.
Mm-hmm. You say the racial cooperation.
And you talk about affirmative action.
He said, well, and read the specific. And these are the things that he had his poll people telling people. Smith says encouraging racial cooperation is his top priority. Then why are you in the race? Why couldn't you have cooperated with one of these black folks to support one of them?
I mean, and his major was African American studies, so if he has an understanding mm-hmm. of the struggle of African Americans in this country, and particularly in the political system, and understanding the makeup of the 4th senatorial district and the issues that it would address, particularly with respect to the African American community, then if affirmative action is something that he wanted to expand, I think then he would be affirmatively in favor of an African American candidate representing the 4th senatorial district.
And then the other point that I want to make is this incredible packet that we got from Steve Carroll, who is the educational lobbyist for the St. Louis Public Schools. In his piece, Jeff Smith says that he vehemently does not support vouchers because they take away money from the public schools. Steve Carroll, Democrat, used to be a state rep, is now the lobbyist, as I said, for the St. Louis Public Schools. He fought House Bill 1973, and if 1973 had been passed, Francis Slay would have had the absolute authority to sponsor charter schools throughout the city of St. Louis. Steve Carroll also said that Francis Slay and his lobbyists worked tirelessly to try to get this charter school expansion bill passed. Steve Carroll said that what this would have cost the District of St. Louis is $16 to $20 million a year in funding. Now, here's the interesting piece, and we've said this before, we have to make the tie-in. Who is the biggest supporter of and sponsor of and taking around and getting money for Jeff Smith? Francis Slay.
Francis Slay.
So how can you say out of one side of your mouth that you don't support vouchers because they take money out of the public schools? Well, so do charter schools. And you are walking hand in hand with the advocate of and one of the staunchest supporters of charter schools.
It's more than that. It's not just you are walking lockstep with an individual who's not just in favor of charter schools, but the total dismantling of public education in the city of St. Louis.
And if you go to Jefferson City as the lockstep hand-holding person of Francis Slay, when Francis Slay came up to lobby for this bill, because this bill will come up again, what would Jeff Smith do? If Francis Slay supported him, if Francis Slay brung him to the dance, if Francis Slay and his father got him money for this election, and if he believes in charter schools as he says that he does, what would Jeff have done with this bill that would have cost the district $16 to $20 million in state funding?
Based on a total assessment of his positions, I believe that he would have been in support of it.
There you go.
That's my belief. You know, I'm not saying what exactly he would did, but that's my belief.
And here is the other chilling part of that observation. Steve Carroll also said that the reason why this charter school, this House Bill 1973 failed, is because of what Maida Coleman did and also Yvonne Wilson. Because they said we're going to filibuster this. And who are they? They are two black state senators
that represent the two urban areas in the state of Missouri.
There you go. So if Jeff Smith would have been up there, he wouldn't have filibustered it. Based on what he said about his position, he wouldn't have filibustered it. So look at how important it is who the legislator is.
And on that issue, you know how you have on the issue of education, and Barkins was not there, but I remember Representative Ellamine saying, you know, she talked about being opposed to it, but she did insert the word alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, alternative always also means choice, which also kind of leads to voucher, which also kind of leads
kinda to... Kind of like pro-choice, pro-life, pro-choice, pro-life, stick. Pick a position, articulate it clearly, and stick. Clearly you have the oratory skills, stick. Give us a clear idea of what your position is.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Of course, it's not clear on whether or not, with the exception, I guess, of perhaps Amber Borkins and Kenny Jones indicated he is vehemently opposed to charter schools, mm-hmm. vehemently opposed to vouchers, vehemently opposed to tax credits. But
that's clear.
That's clear.
That's clear.
Now, you know, your good boy brother, Jeff Smith, you know, the one that wants to push racial cooperation, he says, I'm opposed to vouchers mm-hmm. and tax credits.
But I like charter schools. And you can't
but they're
have
public.
A, and
the,
you can't have
they're
a
just a pilot that'll no. take $16 to $20 million from.
There you go. And we have to. We would be remiss if we don't remind people, Urban Institute.
Saturday
at 1020 North Taylor at the firefighters building there. 1020 North. Don't look for a firehouse. It's a building. It is 1020 North Taylor, 9 o'clock. We're going to be finishing up our, you need to be there because we're doing something very special. We're creating the questions. We're trying to standardize the questions that we're going to be asking candidates to make certain that we get them to commit on the important issues of the day. Be there on Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. Continental breakfast will be served. Irene J. Smith.
Liz Brown is so much to cover.
All right. I'll see you same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.
Take care. I'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There is another grim milestone to report from Iraq. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
Just over 3 years into the war, the Pentagon reports the number of U.S. troops killed in Iraq has reached 2,500. The sad milestone comes as the military celebrates the successful strike on terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and declares his death a real blow to al-Qaeda in Iraq.
The announcement comes as the House and the Senate prepare to debate setting a date to bring the troops home. The president says absolutely not. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says that worries her.
I'm very concerned about the president's comments about listening to the generals on the ground in Iraq when he hasn't listened to the generals before.
Most Republicans say it's not time to set a date. Democrats are split on the issue, but Iraqi officials say the decision may not be Washington's to make. The country's national security advisor says Iraq will send many multinational forces home by the end of this year. All will be out by mid-2008. Iraq's government could pardon thousands of Iraqis involved only in attacks against the U.S. The Washington Post today says that many Iraqis feel that that's justified.
President Bush discussed amnesty when he was in Baghdad, prefers to call it reconciliation, as factions in Iraq learn to work with each other. He says party membership could be overlooked. He's not so sure about amnesty for anyone guilty of a crime.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. The nation's ERs are in critical condition. The nonprofit Institute of Medicine says most of them are understaffed and overwhelmed. Dr. Thomas Russell with the American College of Surgeons says it shouldn't surprise anyone.
You have to be reimbursed for this. We've got to offer some liability relief, too, because why would someone want to go into a field if they're not going to be paid and likely to be sued?
The study says most ERs couldn't handle a real crisis. Good news for Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. He was hurt earlier this week in a motorcycle crash. He's heading home from the hospital today. This is ABC News.
Thanks to Lowe's, there's never been a better time to build a deck than right now. Hurry in for new low prices on select treated lumber. Get a $50 gift card by mail-in rebate when you purchase over $500 worth of Choice Deck composite decking. Get 10% off all decking components and patio furniture. All gas grills are also 10% off. Plus, get free propane exchange and assembly. Use your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, June 14th through July 9th. Offers may vary. See store for details. For the deck you've always wanted, hurry to Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Big at Office Depot and the latest technology for Father's Day. Come into Office Depot today for great savings like $50 off all camera and printer bundles and $150 off 15-inch LCD flat panel monitors, both after mail-in savings. Plus, save up to $300 on select notebook computers. Get Dad the hottest technology at low prices, all at Office Depot. Taking care of business at Office Depot. Available in-store only while supplies last. Quantities limited.
You know something is really, really big when there's a national conference for it, and a three-day convention dedicated to eBay kicks off today in Las Vegas. Here's ABC's Al Mancini.
This is my second eBay Live.
I'm here to do and see everything eBay.
Gail Eyscheid sells items on eBay full-time, but a lot of the people at eBay Live use eBay as a second income, like Richard Mitchell.
This is like a side-time hobby type thing.
And for Sarah Kiefer, eBay and the conference have more to do with keeping in touch with friends than with business.
I hang out on the community discussion boards, so a lot of the people that I know from there were coming out.
This is the fifth annual eBay Live conference. Al Mancini, ABC News, Las Vegas.
Anyone who says the next generation has no conscience should meet an eighth grade class from Carrington Middle School in Durham, North Carolina. The kids were so moved by pictures of homeless, sick, and dying kids in Africa, they decided to do something to help. They figured they could at least give the children shoes. They collected more than 350 pairs of flip-flops. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, arson is suspected as the cause of two condominium fires in the Lafayette Square neighborhood. Fires early yesterday morning destroyed homes under construction in the Vail Place condos and townhomes on South 18th Street and in the Mississippi Place condos a few blocks away. There were no serious injuries reported. There's no official word on whether these fires are related to the April fire at the Compton Gates condominiums under construction at Flat and South Grand. Mandatory drug testing may be in the future for some students in the Francis Howell School District. The board is expected to vote on the measure tonight. Spokesperson Jim Joyce explains what drugs students would be tested for if the issue is passed.
We think marijuana use is one of the more prevalent illegal drugs that students may be experimenting with in the Francis Hall School District, but we'll also test for opiates, benzodiazepines, methamphetamines, and we'll also be running some steroid testing too.
The testing would be limited to athletes and students involved in extracurricular activities. The Fort Zumwalt School District adopted a voluntary drug testing policy last year. Finally this hour, Missouri Congressman Todd Akin says he's gaining support for a bill aimed at keeping the Pledge of Allegiance as is. Akin says the Pledge Protection Act could be ready to go by the 4th of July. The Pledge Protection Act would bar the lower federal courts from ruling on whether the wording of the pledge is unconstitutional. The bill stems from a ruling in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals declaring the phrase "under God" unconstitutional. That ruling was later overturned by the Supreme Court. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, need tires? Through July 31st, get a $50 gas card with purchase of any four new tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit ToyotaOwnersOnline.com for details. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT I-44's Travel Safe Partnership. Westbound 270 at Lilac, there's an accident reported on the left shoulder. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Woods Mill all the way into Mason, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from K to 79 is slow as well. Westbound 270 at Washington, Elizabeth all the way into 170, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge, that traffic is easing. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley, it is a slow go. Westbound 5570 approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, and eastbound approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge are a bit delayed this hour due to the fact they have traffic paving operations going on and several lane closures, so just use caution and take your time, add some more time to your travel this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. I-44 from Route 109 west of Pacific is a travel safe zone. Due to construction, buckle up, pay attention, and slow down. Tickets are issued in the I-44 safe zone because we want you to arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly sunny today, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to, oh my goodness, it's Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means it is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am in the studio with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Very good. We had a pretty eventful week for and surprising week. I mean, this Supreme Court kind of keeps surprising me on the death penalty stuff.
Yes, yes. And one of the guests that we hope to have on this hour is David Elliott, who's with the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And we really wanted him to be able to come and give a national overview, because sometimes when you're in Missouri, you're fighting and you feel like, you know, where are we getting here? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's things going on nationally, and so you always have to put that in perspective. But when Monday at the Reggie Clemens campaign meeting, we were able to report out to people that the Supreme Court had unanimously upheld the right of condemned inmates to pursue challenging the lethal injection. So that, much to the chagrin of many of the prosecutors and folks who uphold the death penalty, was a definite setback. And so,
what does that mean? Can you speak to us in terms of what that means for Reggie's case?
What it means for Reggie's case, as it does for all other cases, means that that is another legal weapon, if you will, in the arsenal when you get that death sentence, that you have the right to do that.
To challenge it.
And before the Supreme Court ruling, it was really kind of left up to each individual state. Mm-hmm. And even while this was being appealed to the Supreme Court, there were a couple of states who continued to execute. Whereas in other states, depending on, again, who's in power, they waited until the Supreme Court ruling. In the case of Missouri with the Michael Taylor, when we had the appeals arguments here in St. Louis, the judges tried to coincide the next hearing with the Supreme Court ruling, and they just about did it, because on June 12th is when Michael Taylor's attorneys presented their case to the judge in Kansas City. And from what I understand, the defense did an excellent job of presenting, as they did with at the appeals hearing here. And so that was the day that the Supreme Court ruling came down. Mm-hmm. So I think that what you have here is the ability of people to utilize that.
So now that the Supremes have said unanimously that a person may challenge it, the argument that was held in this on the other side of the state, that was a question of what? Was that the same question?
Well, it appears that in different, the challenges are different. For mm-hmm. example, sometimes it's based on the sequence of the drugs that are used. Sometimes it's based on the actual drugs that are used. And sometimes it's based on the whole concoction of drugs. So however people want to, or choose to argue the case, they now have the right to do that. And the courts in their particular jurisdictions have to take it seriously, have to look at those issues seriously and weigh in on them. And so that opens up the door to many, many cases across the country.
Mm-hmm. So it opens the door to a new type of challenge. Not just the drugs, but the thing of executing by injection, period, dot.
Period, dot, as, you know, inhumane treatment,
and cruel,
so
and
cruel and unusual mm-hmm. and inhumane treatment, mm-hmm. and so people are coming in and challenging, and I know that in talking to Reggie's attorneys last week prior to the Supreme Court ruling, they had already began discovery in his case, because one of the things you have to be able to do is to get the information you need, and also Michael Taylor's discovery has helped them as well. And so sometime in the near future, I'd like for them to come on and talk about some of the really troubling kinds of issues that have come up as a result of some of the discovery that they had. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, Missouri does not have a written protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what they do, who does it.
Okay.
So, they've had to subpoena to get that, or, you know, get them to write up something.
So I imagine that since they've been resistant, that would be Jay Nixon's office, wouldn't it?
Jay Nixon's office, as well as
The state somehow?
The state, mm-hmm. including probably parole and probation.
Because, I mean, so since they have been stonewalling or trying to keep that information from us, I imagine that the ruling by the Supreme Court saying that you can challenge this is going to make it impossible or very, very difficult for them to keep that information from us. And I'm very interested to find out what's been going on.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
What has been going on.
And it's been some definitely goings on that we need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in places in like California where the physicians stood down
mm-hmm.
On the lethal injection, that too is going to play a role in terms of whether or not people will be able to move forward. Because if there's challenges that say that there is not enough medical personnel to witness and be present in case there's anything that goes awry, and the physicians as a general policy are saying we won't participate, then there either is going to have to be another method of execution, or they will have to challenge the courts to use a lesser form of medical personnel other than a physician or a doctor. And so,
and it'll be just the idea that, and then that's another challenge as well, because how can you use someone less than a doctor to do something right. like that? Also, one of the other decisions that came down by the Supreme Court this week, although it wasn't a unanimous decision, it was also the opportunity that people that it just seems so surreal that we live in a country where this wasn't already the rule.
Right.
Talk to us about this other ruling by the Supreme Court.
Well, the other ruling by the Supreme Court had to do with people being able to use DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that the prosecutors or prosecuting offices will use DNA when they need to. But
databases of it. They want to gather people's blood and put it in a DNA database.
But for the poor condemned person who wants to try to use it, they have had to go through hell and high waters. And the Supreme Court has said absolutely that people can use the DNA.
And the interesting thing about the case, this particular case, is that it was a black man accused of raping a white woman, and there was semen on the pants and blood that apparently, kind of an O.J. Simpson thing, spilled blood that the prosecution had gathered for their own evidence had been spilled onto the pants of or some of the belongings of the accused. And when they tested the semen that was used to convict him, it belonged to her husband.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was an ID as well. So he was ID'd and they had semen. And
so he was a goner.
He was a goner.
So here you have two pieces of evidence, seemingly physical and eyewitness. You can't really overcome those hurdles. You have to really have some good stuff. And so but what I'm thinking, Liz, with the DNA and the kind of breakthroughs that people are making with the DNA, because as you know, a number of people have already been exonerated through the DNA evidence, is that we found this out when Representative Connie Johnson held her tribunals on DNA, is that there is no standards, no national standards for DNA testing. So, for example, my fear is that you got a DNA sample, but it gets contaminated.
I mean, there's no standards for the preservation of the DNA?
The preservation or even the collection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sort of each state has their own way that they do it. And my fear is that the more that convicted or possibly convicted people rely on DNA as a way to exonerate themselves, that you'll start to see some compromising of that evidence, either in the storage of it or the collection of it.
Or even collection of it, meaning even the gathering of it. You know, well, we didn't get the DNA. And also, there's legislation floating in some states that's just remarkable, given what DNA has been able to do to prove people's innocence. There are some jurisdictions where the prosecution has gone to their state to get legislation to say that they can destroy all of the evidence of a particular case after 5 or 6 years. So once the evidence is destroyed, you can't come back, and there's no semen, there's no DNA to gather, there's no blood to gather, because the prosecution has said, we're only going to keep this stuff for about 5 or 6 years, and then we're destroying it.
Right, right.
You know, and that's insane.
And even in recent cases, like since the last Reggie Thursday, we had a police report that was sent to us around a brother who's now at the so-called Justice Center. And the interesting thing about his rape case was that shortly after the rape kit was lost.
Mm.
So here you have the police saying, well, it never even got to us.
Mm.
It was lost by the hospital.
And you know what? And it's all, Jamala, it seems like we live in a world where everything old is new again. If this becomes a trend, this losing of the rape kit that can prove people's innocence, what we will go back to is the thing that put brothers in jail before people could even test semen. Eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to, because there will never be a DNA assessment of an eyewitness.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to prove categorically that this witness is telling the truth or is not. So they're going to go old school. They're going to go back. I'm fearful that since DNA is so dispositive that it does prove one way or another, they're going to start going old school, losing the kits.
Losing the kids.
Contaminating the kids, mixing it up. Finding enough to let them test it, but not let anybody else test
right,
it.
Right, right. And I know that as we have more court rulings, I start to think about, okay, when we start to utilize something for our own benefits, mm-hmm. the rules of engagement change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my greatest fear now, that here's a tool that we haven't been able to use, but now more and more folks are gravitating towards it and trying to use it. And now we'll have more and more barriers to using what has been available to the prosecutor and to police.
In the manner they want to use it. I mean, they initially looked upon it as an incredible tool of conviction. I'll be able to go look straight face into this jury's eyes and say, he did it, and this is how we
99.9% sure this is the man.
There you go. So it was a tool of conviction and prosecution. Not always.
Right.
Not always.
Right, right. And again, just because there's physical evidence down there, and you just pointed out the fact that there was blood there, and so the assumption was this is the blood of the so-called rapist, when in fact it was not the blood of the rapist, it was the blood of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that the whole realm of crime, which I'm, Liz, I have to admit, I'm really getting into this, not the CSI stuff, but the real forensic kinds of programs that are on TV, because I am trying to understand better how crimes can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Because the premise that I started with is that in cases where the police really don't care about who gets the rap,
mm-hmm.
anybody can get the rap.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tie it up very nicely and neatly, and then that's the end of that particular crime. When there's many, many tools that they have at their disposal,
mm-hmm.
if they aren't lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm finding. And so, I mean, the DNA is just one part of it. They have all kind of technology out there that allows police to really do a thorough investigation.
If they are trying to find out who done it. If they really are, if they're not pursuing an agenda about, oh, we're going to get our stats up to show that we solve crimes, we're going to do that. But if little Johnny out there, we want to get at him, or we want to threaten him to get to something else, or just on GP, we're going to do that. And that's the threats that we hear people come back talking about all the time, that he said he's going to put a case on me
mm-hmm.
if I don't do thus mm-hmm. and such.
Mm-hmm. And so then the onus is on the citizen to try to come up and defend himself when here's the prosecutor with all the resources of that office to bear upon his case, and you have very little. And so, you know, 10 years, 20 years out, maybe somebody, you know, finally gets wind of your case and tries to intervene. But in most cases, you will languish in jail
mm-hmm.
until you get out.
And
that's the travesty of the kind of judicial system that we have, is that there is no justice. There is no justice-seeking environment. It is conviction, and the onus is on the person to make sure that they come out on the other side of the trial, you know, innocent. And it's very interesting that there is no innocence. Somebody keeps reminding me of this. There is no innocence in the judicial system. It's guilty or not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes people use that as a way to say that, well, we didn't really prove that he was totally innocent.
Mm-hmm.
We proved him not guilty. So there's still this sort of, you know, shadow of doubt over there. But I think that, you know, the kind of judicial system that we have, I'd rather err on the side of the person, knowing the kind of deviant nature of the judicial system, than to, particularly in DNA, You know, if people lose DNA and it's been malicious, as they did in Virginia, which is when the governor said, if y'all lost it,
then he walks.
He walks. That's the kind of attitude that I think we have, and that would make people get more serious about preserving the evidence and carrying out justice as it's supposed to be carried out.
You know, and because we're supposed to err on the side of freedom. We're supposed to err on the side that they're innocent, not err on the side that they're guilty.
Exactly.
You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how the DNA issue eventually evolves itself out. You know, how is it going to turn out?
And I think in the state of Missouri, because we have at least some legislators who have taken lead on trying to look at DNA, look at how to have the best possible guidelines to govern it and if necessary laws to govern, I think we need to be mindful of that as we look at these races, you know, because you have prosecutors who are now elected officials in Jeff City, and they seem to be very adamant about anything that's going to help the accused, and rightfully so. That they've been in that position for many years, and so they are voting with their with that kind of experience. And so I think we have to be mindful of that, and to the extent that we can create the kind of justice-seeking atmosphere in the courtroom, we need to.
And we're going to take a break. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Privacy. I didn't know a thing about my legacy when I realized you were there for me. Call on your name. You came. You did just what you said. For that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me. For that I'll love you forever.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Classes may be over, but lunch continues for many Missouri children. Hundreds of local community organizations across the state will provide lunch as well as breakfast to eligible children in their area through the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services Summer Food Service Program. More than 700 locations will be available at schools, parks, YMCA facilities, boys and girls clubs, churches, and other areas where children gather in the summertime. A list of locations can be found at www.dhss.mo.gov. For more info about the program, call 888-435-1464. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Century Mortgage. Northbound 270 is heavy on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Look for traffic to be easing this hour. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79 is easing as well. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry all the way into 170. No problems to report there. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Heavy volume going on there. Southbound 270 at Ladue and 40, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 40 at 270 in Mason, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 and eastbound 5570 approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You'll see some delays due to the traffic paving operations that are going on, so expect some delays going into downtown in your 8:30 hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Century Mortgage. Got a prehistoric rate? Call Century Mortgage today to qualify for their 1% pay option program. Call 314-576-6400. That's Century Mortgage, 576-6400. Because it's time to turn to Century. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And Saturday, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly sunny skies. Our temperature is climbing to 75. Lambert Field is also reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Learn about turtles at the August A. Bush Conservation Area on Tuesday, June 20th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Can a turtle come out of its shell and walk around? Will a turtle die if it flips over on its back? Join us to discover the answers to these questions and learn more about Missouri's turtles. To find out more, call 636-441-4554. News on the Half Shell from Radio Free St. Louis.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, I want to go local here for a second to try to tie these issues into it's the criminal justice issues and how we get to the place where we are. One of the issues that also came up in the news this week is an issue with the St. Louis Police Board. The decision or the press conference that was held about what they did. Can we talk about that? Because I think that that's an important tie-in to our issue here this morning.
And we're talking about the violation of the Sunshine
Law. Exactly.
And people, you know, one of the things that we talked about since the press conference of the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression is the fact that it did not seem like it was media worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. And we could just tell that by the faces of the press that came out. And basically what happened is people recall that there was a four-year struggle to get a civilian oversight by the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression. The mayor usurped that process and got his own board bill passed in the police board.
But and shouldn't we also just kind of interject here to talk about the reason why, because it came to the Board of Aldermen passed one out, and Francis Slay had it sitting on his desk, and rather than go with the one that had been at least designed by, had the hands-on of the elected officials of all of the wards out there, Francis Slay decided that, no, I'm not going to sign one that had the consensus and the input and the work of the community, because the bill that came out of the Board of Aldermen was the result of how many public hearings?
Numerous.
Okay, just numerous public hearings and numerous years. And
input from so many people, national, international, and local, came in to weigh in on the crafting of this very, very important bill. And Francis Slade let it sit on his desk and languish until the last possible moment, and then he decided to veto it. And he vetoed it, claiming that he was going to come up without public input, without any hearings, without national, international input, without the community's fingerprints on it at all. He was going to come up with the civilian review board, civilian review bill, and he was going to do it within the confines of the police board.
Right. Right, and so they moved forward rather quickly after he vetoed the civilian oversight bill that the Board of Aldermen had passed. And many of us attended that meeting, and it really was a spectacle to behold because there were so many amendments and so much what I call a shell game that, you know, you just know that something happened. You don't know what, but something happened. And sure enough, as we, through the Sunshine Law, got some of the documents, got the minutes of the meeting, got the videotape of the meeting, we realized that there were 13 amendments that had been added to the board bill.
To the finalized board bill, saying this is the document that said this is how the civilian oversight board is going to operate. And there were 13 amendments that appeared on there out of nowhere that you hadn't seen, that apparently nobody had seen, and most importantly, nobody voted on.
Nobody voted on, and that is in direct violation of the Sunshine Law. And it's punishable. Mm-hmm. It's an offense that's punishable if you can prove that people intentionally did it.
Well,
and so,
wait a minute. as you know, I don't know of outside of embezzlement, because you know you don't slip into embezzlement. Okay, that is a calculated, thought out act. You can slip into an assault, okay, but you can't slip into embezzlement. How is it not an intentional act when 13 things end up on a bill that were not voted upon?
13 changes. I mean, I could see one or two because you're trying to reconcile the minutes with the motions that got, and when you write it up, somebody might have, you know.
But these
something.
Are new things. Nobody said this out. Nobody said these things out their mouth, because that's another point to look at in terms of the intentionalness of it. It wasn't like the former reporter, former reporter that voted for this thing, Julius Hunter. He didn't say out of his mouth one of these 13 things that were added. Did any of the members say out their mouth? Because we have the videotape. Any of the 13 things that ended up on the bill?
No, in fact, there was very little discussion except by the mayor and the police chief. And at one point, it was just so ridiculous what was going on when they were about to vote, and someone said, "Can you repeat the motion?" And the board secretary couldn't even repeat it because it was so convoluted. And that is when Police Chief Mocha said, "I can read it from my notes." So it was just ridiculous, and so we suspected that something had happened. But what it makes me wary of, and it should make any citizen wary of, is if this happened with this bill, because most citizens don't have the time to follow up, and so if this kind of shenanigans is going on in a public meeting, so by the time you get finished with the vote and get it to the bill portion of it, what has happened, what has transpired, it's truly amazing. And so, you know, not that we had any hope, but we did feel like, you know, that was something that needed to be pursued, it needed to be exposed.
Well, do you think that the press got it? Were they asking questions? Did they understand what you were saying?
I think some of them got it, and there were a few that asked questions. I think what they didn't see is the full impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and true enough, because what happened and what we thought would happen is that the police board would come back and say, "Oh, you know, oversight, we'll make it right in our next meeting," which is exactly what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't knowingly do it, and we'll make it right. And so then what that means is that, okay, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
Oversight, slip, whatever you want it, and then let's move on to correcting that and move on with it.
Well, so then let's talk about the 13 things that were added, because do we need to be concerned about the fact that the we'll fix it component will be that they vote these 13 changes in?
Pretty much. I mean, that's the sentiment. And again, if you start off with a board bill that is impotent from the beginning, that is weak, that has no promise of any kind of integrity, because the other issue, Liz, is that there is no line item budget in this year's city budget for a civilian oversight committee.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the police board didn't even see the need to do that says volumes about whether or not they want this thing to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no budget, mm-hmm. what do you have? You have something on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so we raised that whole issue up as well, like what is supposed to happen with this? First you got a bill that's weak from the beginning. Now you have a bill that has no funding.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you have a bill that, even though it was weak from the beginning, you sent it to your lawyers, the lawyers for the police department, and it came back with these 13 changes on it that water it down even more. And water it down probably isn't even the best phrase to use it. It makes it ineffective. It makes it impossible for it to have any, to find out anything. I mean, a person, from all practical purposes, a person standing at the front desk of the police department could ask questions of the cop that's sitting there and get as much information as you can get out of this bill that,
exactly.
that is supposed to be oversight and investigative.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think what it does for most people is just say, yeah, that's why, you know, there's no hope that, you know, whatever. And for me, it's even more resolved that, you know, these are the very reasons why we need to be standing tall. We need to be standing in their faces. We need to be at these board meetings, raising the questions and asking the right questions, because one of the things that happens most of the time is with these bureaucracies, you have people that are moving and doing all these things under the table with the understanding that most citizens are too busy to do the follow-up.
There you go.
And
we have to take a break. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. Stay with us.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Ooh, baby, just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen, a queen upon her throne.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to be able to get wonderful gifts for your father for Father's Day? Of course it's Sears, right there at Union and Natural Bridge. You can get a television set. Treat your dad wonderfully. Get him a big screen television. Get him a barbecue grill. Get him some wonderful tools. How about a new washer and dryer? How about a new refrigerator? All that and so much more. Take your shopping list for your dad down to Union and Natural Bridge. Check out the Sears. Get your shop on. Get something wonderful for your daddy. And tell him I told you to.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. America is rewarding Jordan for the role it played in helping to kill Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The House of Representatives approved a $21 billion foreign assistance measure that increases military and security funding for Jordan. That's more than the Bush administration had asked for. Jordan provided intelligence that located Zarqawi's safe house near Bakuba and had managed to infiltrate his inner circle of command. And Dateline Geneva. The United States has stated again it has a right to develop weapons to be used in outer space in order to protect its military and commercial satellites. A senior State Department official made that remark this week in Geneva at a conference on disarmament. The Bush administration feels there is no need for any negotiations on the issue because there's already an international treaty that bans weapons of mass destruction in space. The American position is that any outer space weaponry will be strictly defensive.
The administration is scheduled to put forth a new space policy later this month, which will be the first in 10 years. It's likely to reinforce the view that America has its right to protect any space assets that it has, as well as maintain dominance of that frontier. Most member nations taking part in the Geneva Forum want some type of global negotiations on the issue, but the United States and Britain stand alone against them. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Did you know that JD Computer Sales and Service has reconditioned Dell computers for only $200? It's true. The best part, they're fully upgraded and 100% guaranteed. Call JD Computer Sales and Service today, 314-600-1977, 314-600-1977, or stop by Price and Flea Market, 7025 St. Charles Rock Road, this Friday and Saturday from 9 until 9. JD Computer Sales and Service, gotta get one now.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, we need to do a little bit of an update here.
Yeah, we want to, people remember if you were listening to Reggie Thursday last week, we had Fahima Thabit with the American Friends Service Committee who did a sort of on-the-air mini workshop on Know Your Rights when stopped by the police or when in police custody. We got several calls, as did they, about people wanting to be a part of the workshop. And so we want to, again, you know, open it up and ask if people want to be a part of that, to know what you should do, know how to respond when you're in police custody or when you stop by the police. Call us at 367-5959 because we're about to schedule some workshops. And it's interesting, Liz, a mother sent me a police report from her son, and one of the things she highlighted was that it was a rape case. He waived his right to an attorney and gave a police his written statement. And it goes back to what we said last week when people are so sure that they are innocent, they say, I'm going to tell you what happened, exactly what happened. And now he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's waiting for trial.
Yes, he is.
He's
yes,
waiting for trial.
Yes, he is.
So I really can't underscore the importance of people understanding what their rights are, and that, you know, waiving your rights is should never be an option. I mean, you're an attorney. Mm-hmm. Is there ever a time
no.
when you would waive your
no.
rights?
I couldn't
think of a time, but I said, well, maybe I don't know the full scope of the law.
No, but here's something, because I've been thinking about this, and what I think that it all, sometimes men are going to do that because they feel it as, or they concoct it in their head, or they work it around in their head, that it's a sign of weakness to say that you need help.
Mm-hmm.
And asking for a lawyer is like asking for help. I don't need no help.
Mm-hmm.
I can take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can do this. So understand that it is not about an issue of help. Mm-hmm. It's about an issue of protection. You don't go to a gunfight without a gun, okay? That's not weakness. That's strategy. That's smartness. Being smart about and protecting yourself. This isn't about you being able to stand up as a man or even stand up as a woman. I don't need no help. You need protection is what you need, and that's what a lawyer, you are in a fight and you don't have a weapon with you.
Okay. And you're not a weapon because you're the target of the fight. You're not a weapon.
And not only that, there are weapons that will be coming at you mm-hmm. that you didn't even know existed.
There you go. How could you? Because you're not trained. Would you? Do you think it is weakness? You know, just for people to work it around in your head. Do you think it is weakness for if you have an appendicitis? For you to have to turn to a doctor to cut you open and to deal with what's going on inside of your body? Of course not. It's not weakness. You know that you can't operate on yourself. You cannot defend yourself. You can't because you don't know the rules. If you knew the rules, it would be one thing, but you don't know the rules. So how can you play for yourself and defend yourself if you don't know what the rules are? Can you play basketball without knowing the rules? Can you play football successfully without knowing the rules? Of course not.
And sometimes, Liz, even when you know the rules, there's some things that still get thrown at you that are that you have no control over. For example, when you talked about the report that says people who are of darker skin,
mm-hmm.
now, somebody that's a chocolate drop like me that goes in the courtroom, I can't change the way I look.
There you go.
So automatically, I got some strikes against me.
There you go.
So I'm saying that all the things that we've been talking about on Reggie Thursday to sort of lay it out for people, what you go up against when you go into a courtroom, when you up against the judicial system, some things you probably can work with, but other things you absolutely can't. And so you need to go in there with the frame of mind, here's some things that I have no control over. I need to strengthen this area or this area because I can't change my color. I can't change some of the attitudes of people who may be on the jury. And so you really have to go in there with a full understanding of what you're up against. And in a sense, it's probably the least thing that's going to get you through,
mm-hmm.
really.
It is. And because it's not just innocence, it is proving your innocence,
mm-hmm.
okay? How is your lawyer going to be able to prove your innocence when you, because you opened your mouth, have now put up new barriers and new obstacles that your lawyer is going to have to fight over because you slipped and said, and case in point, the case of the Duke lacrosse players. We have the young woman who, the other woman that went to the house with the young, the mother and the student that has been, that's accused them of rape. When she talked to the police, she first said that no, I don't think that they're that that's crazy, that's crock to say that there was a rape going on because I didn't see it. She has since been interviewed and she said, what I meant when I said that is that I didn't want to believe that while I was sitting out in my car waiting for this other woman to come back to the car, that something as awful as that could have happened. Because in my mind, I kind of feel responsible for this because I didn't know. I didn't know that she was going. And did she? And she said, and I couldn't even create in my mind the possibility of the reason why she was acting so out of it could have been anything but alcohol, because I couldn't conceive that she would have been gang raped while she was in there, while I was just feet away from where she was. Now, she opened up to the police.
Mm-hmm.
She told the police her perspective at the time. And those words that she said initially, because she opened up and because she hadn't thought it through, those are going to be used against this young woman who all she was doing was sitting out there and waiting for. So every word matters. And since you don't know how they're going to be able to use it, shut your mouth, get your lawyer, and don't say anything.
Right, right. And people sometimes perceive that as saying be dishonest or work your words. No,
mm-hmm.
we're saying that you don't know how these will be used, and most of the time, as they say in the Miranda, it will be used against you.
Okay.
And so rather than put yourself out there and then have to work backwards trying to undo what you've done, just think it through. And most of the time it's fairly traumatic. You need to be reflecting anyway.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And the other piece of it too is that I get this all the time because I'm on the show all the time. I'm like, every word matters. That comes from my training and my experience, because most people are not particularly precise about what they say, because I ain't in a court of law. I don't have to be precise about what I say. So if you've lived an entire life about not being precise about your words, and now you're in a situation where you doggone well better be precise about your word, or you're going to cause harm to yourself, you're in an environment where precision is what you have to have, and you're not. And that's not your habit of speaking.
Right.
So shut up.
Right.
You know,
right.
Don't
right.
say anything.
Right. Until you get some advice from somebody who knows how to navigate through that
system. And will speak for you.
Exactly.
Because they will get you to the precision. And getting back to your what you said about, it's not about trickery. It's not about trying to protect yourself from something that you have done. It's about precision of language and how those words are going to be used against you if you are not precise and clear and thoughtful about this.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, we want to, close up, Liz, by saying that, you know, this weekend is an opportunity for people to get petitions signed. Mm-hmm. We got a number of Father's Day events. There's Juneteenth events going on. And so we need to be out there with our petitions. Also, we have scheduled at our regular meeting, campaign meeting, instead of coming to the Rowan Center, we want people to go to Legacy Bookstore where we will be showing American Justice.
Okay.
And we'll have a discussion on that. And people who don't have cable have been wondering kind of what we've been talking about as we talked about American Justice, and they had another flurry of showings mm-hmm. in this last couple of weeks. So we want to show American Justice.
What a great opportunity.
Feature the chain of Rocks Bridge case, and so that'll be Monday, June 26th. But for folks to get involved, you can go to the website, www.justiceforreggie.com, or give us a call at area code 314-367-5959.
And I want to remind everybody that on Saturday, the Fire Charitable Fund, they are going to be having their fourth annual golf tournament. And I also want to thank our wonderful, wonderful sponsors here of Justice for Reggie, of course, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward, and also Pastor Morris at Lane Tabernacle. Thank you so much for your sponsorship of this show. It's very important to help keep the show on. Thank you all so, so much for taking a stance on this issue, and we're going to get more of you to come out and to take the stance on this issue. And don't forget also, Saturday at 9 o'clock, the Urban Institute meets Irene J. Smith and myself. We will be there Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. Be there. Jamala, thank you so much, and
thank
we'll
you,
see
Liz.
You next Thursday. All right.
Definitely.
All right. We'll be back. I'll be back. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A sad milestone in Iraq. The Pentagon now says 2,500 American service members have died there. The announcement comes as the House and Senate prepare to debate a possible exit date for the troops. Congressman Neil Abercrombie, a Democrat from Hawaii who opposes the war, says it's time that the House was heard.
This is not about a discussion of cutting and running. This is a question of whether the Congress is going to sit and watch.
Iraq's National Security Advisor says it will decide when the multinational forces will go, many by the end of this year, all by mid-2008. White House reaction from ABC's Ann Compton.
A deadline for withdrawal is exactly what President Bush told his news conference is the wrong message to insurgents.
Don't count on us leaving before the mission is complete. Don't bet on it.
The fact is, several allies, including Italy, are coming home this year. President Bush says only the U.S. commander in Iraq can set an American timetable. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Ben Roethlisberger didn't spend much time in the hospital. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, injured in a motorcycle accident early Monday, was released late last night. Doctors say he had no brain injury, but he did have a concussion and a few broken facial bones. If you've ever been to an emergency room, you know they're crowded and they're chaotic. The American College of Surgeons, Dr. Thomas Russell, says the problem starts with what hospitals can give their staff.
We need to have better funding at a state and federal level for the trauma systems. Secondly, we have to do our part as professionals to make this an attractive field for young people.
The Institute of Medicine says most ERs are understaffed, overwhelmed, and couldn't handle a real crisis. Life is getting more expensive. Here's ABC's Betsy Stark.
The latest government report on inflation shows Americans spending more to pay the rent, stay in a hotel, join a gym, put the kids in daycare, dry clean a suit, even get the lawn mowed.
The Dow and the NASDAQ are both up in early going. This is ABC News.
Thanks to Lowe's, there's never been a better time to build a deck than right now. Hurry in for new low prices on select treated lumber. Get a $50 gift card by mail-in rebate when you purchase over $500 worth of Choice Deck composite decking. Get 10% off all decking components and patio furniture. All gas grills are also 10% off. Plus, get free propane exchange and assembly. Use your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, June 14th through July 9th. Offers may vary. See store for details. For the deck you've always wanted, hurry to Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Big at Office Depot and the latest technology for Father's Day. Come into Office Depot today for great savings like $50 off all camera and printer bundles and $150 off 15-inch LCD flat panel monitors, both after mail-in savings. Plus, save up to $300 on select notebook computers. Get Dad the hottest technology at low prices, all at Office Depot. Taking care of business at Office Depot. Available in-store only while supplies last. Quantities limited.
Recording artists have been fighting for a long time, and now they're getting a little jingle for each time you use them on your cell phone. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
The ringtone business has breathed new life into the music industry.
The projections for this year for ringtones, that includes master tones and polyphonic tones, is expected to be $600 million.
Billboard magazine executive editor Tamara Conniff.
That's a big chunk of change that the record industry really lost during the real big days of internet piracy.
To give an indication of just how important ringtones have become, the Recording Industry Association of America is now certifying them. 84 gold, 40 platinum, and 4 multi-platinum ringtones have been awarded by the RIAA. David Blaustein, ABC News, New York.
All of those anti-smoking ads you see on TV, hear on the radio, and read in magazines aren't doing the job. A National Institutes of Health study says, despite the hard sell, that tobacco is dangerous. Only about 5% of smokers who want to quit actually kick the habit. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, police are looking for a suspect in a fatal shooting in North St. Louis. A man identified by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as 32-year-old Michael Washington was gunned down yesterday afternoon in the 4100 block of Natural Bridge. Witnesses tell police that a gunman got out of a car, shot Washington, and then drove away. There's no word on a motive for the shooting. Missouri voters will need to bring a photo ID with them to the polls this fall. Governor Matt Blunt signed that requirement into law yesterday. Supporters say the measure will help fight voter fraud, but opponents say it disenfranchises the poor, elderly, and disabled who don't have driver's licenses. Those who don't have a photo ID can receive a free non-driver ID at no cost starting today through the Department of Revenue. The bill also allows those with disabilities or religious objections to carrying an ID to vote. Finally, this hour, today marks the last of three public meetings on the possible expansion of Metrolink. The meetings are part of an 18-month Northside-Southside transit improvement study, which looks at potential routes for the public transit service around the city of St. Louis. Donna Day of the East-West Gateway Council of Governments says they need the public's input.
Community input is one of the many factors that we look at in terms of these routes. We have to look at, obviously, things like how many people would use them. Light rail is very good at enhancing development, stimulating development, and that's a big factor. So we're looking at economic development, how many people would use them, you know, items like safety and public input.
Tonight's meeting at the Botanical Garden from 5 to 7:30 will cover potential South St. Louis city routes. Meetings earlier this week discussed routes for downtown and North St. Louis. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brangemeyer for Radio Free St. Louis. Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 40 at 270. There's an accident. The exit lanes on the 270 are blocked, as well as the right through lane. Traffic is backed up near Timberlake. Westbound 40 at Grand. Look for it closed due to reconstruction of the 64 Compton Interchange. Westbound 370 at St. Louis Mills and Earth City Expressway. Right lane closed due to construction. Actually, there are a number of construction sites going on around the area. Just use caution and slow down through those work zones. Westbound 40 at 270 is slow where people are looking at the accident. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are delayed due to paving operations on eastbound and westbound, having lane closures going on there as well. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving your cool air conditioning of your car with a huge size drink at McDonald's, all for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Mostly sunny, high around 90 today. Mostly clear with a low in the lower 70s this evening. Mostly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. And then on Saturday, partly sunny, 40% chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And don't forget that we are streamed at WGNU.net. That's right, 24/7. We are streamed. And if you want to email me, you can do that. You can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. Oh, my goodness, you need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Should we, be celebrating, should we, be cheering? Should we be excited because Bush, made a midnight run to Baghdad? Should we be celebrating? Remember, the 3-year-old words are still hanging in the air. This is the same dude that said to us, mission accomplished 3 years ago. And understand that you are being, played. You are being played. Let me share with you the New York Times editorial from yesterday. 3 years after declaring from the deck of an aircraft carrier that America had accomplished its mission in Iraq, George Bush flew to Baghdad to make much of two modest pieces of encouraging news. The belated confirmation of the last three members of the Iraqi cabinet, and the death of al-Zarqawi. By now, says the New York Times, Americans surely must know the difference between a presidential publicity stunt and a true turning point in this ever-lengthening war. If Americans had ever had, if they had any question about which one this was, Karl Rove provided some guidance in New Hampshire, where he delivered the campaign talking points to the Republican faithful. 1. Democrats could never have summoned the will to kill Zarqawi. For an administration that is supposed to be rallying a nation at war, it was a revealingly nasty, partisan, and divisive moment. To increase the drama of Bush's visit to Iraq, the Prime Minister of Iraq announced a large military and police operation around Baghdad involving tens of thousands of troops to secure roads, stage raids, seize weapons, and enforce a curfew. The New York Times writes, that may look good on paper, but... So did the mission accomplished banner. There are already 75,000 American and Iraqi troops deployed around Baghdad, and very few of those Iraqis can actually carry out such a mission reliably and effectively. Beyond that, we've been repeatedly told that the already overstretched American forces would be pulled back from the cities and maybe from Iraq itself later this year. How are Americans supposed to square the Prime Minister's grandiose announcement with Bush's message that the United States is prepared to reduce its military role? How's that going to happen? The New York Times goes on to say that meanwhile, millions of Iraqis go without electricity at least part of the day. Thousands of families have had to flee their homes, and Iraqi women have seen their rights to an independent life and livelihood significantly diminished. The New York Times concludes with this.
after too many photo ops aimed at giving Bush and his fellow Republicans a short-term lift in the domestic opinion polls at election times, Americans hunger more than ever for a realistic game plan for Iraq and some real progress. Games. We are being worked and played for games. With games. By games. And this administration. Karl Rove is out here saying Democrats wouldn't have the will to kill Al Zarqawi. So your point is what? Oh, that's right. You have a candidate that will shoot anybody. We shoot friends. I guess that's it. We shoot friends and enemies alike, right? There is nobody that we wouldn't use a bullet on, apparently, is what you are saying. And there is an incredible story about that coming out of, I believe, it's Florida. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. It is an incredible story because what happens when we pass a law allowing people to pack, to shoot people? I think that that's what's happened in this story out of Florida is a reflection of microcosm of what happens. Or just a George Bush, Dick Cheney way of looking at the world. Karl Rove way of looking at the world. Check this out. There's a deadly force law that went into effect in Florida. You are now allowed to, because the laws have been loosened, you can use deadly force in self-defense. Shoot first, think later. 13 people in Central Florida have shot people. Michael Brady didn't think about his rights when he shot and killed a stranger in his front yard. He says he was just scared. They've killed 6 men, wounded 4 more. All but one of the people that were shot, all of them were unarmed. And 3 of the shooters have been charged. They're saying it's too early to make to determine whether or not the law that makes Floridians that allows Floridians to shoot first, think about it later, makes them safer or puts them at a greater risk. Understand that 6 men have been killed, 4 have been wounded, all of them but one were unarmed. All of them but one were unarmed. People are shooting people left and right, killing people left and right in Florida. The new law requires that claims of self-defense have to be investigated, but it also prohibits the police from detaining or arresting a suspect without clear evidence of another motive, such as anger, frustration, or malice. People make the argument that there is such a gray area now as a result of this law. And this gets back to this whole, this infestation, maybe that's the word, of this dehumanizing of all of us, that we're all just possible shooting targets. And it's okay because we probably were a terrorist anyway. That's dehumanizing orange alerts, red alerts, green alerts, chartreuse alerts. We're all under attack. Look over your shoulder. Shoot. Shoot. Dick Cheney thought he saw a bird. Shoot. Shoot. In one case, in Florida, an off-duty Maitland police officer was arrested after shooting and wounding his host and another guest at a party. Despite claiming he feared for his life, Daniel Metvier was jailed by the sheriff's office on two counts of aggravated battery with a firearm. What was his defense? I underwent knee surgery shortly before the shooting. I was unable to defend myself because of the injury, and the only way I could defend myself was resorting to deadly force. He used his police-issue sidearm, and he had been drinking, and he shot two people. Another homeowner in Florida in January. They shot a drunken intruder who stumbled into the residence at 4 a.m., mistaking it for a friend's house. A teenager, it was a teenager. Another teenager was shot running away from a car after trying to break into the car by a civilian, a citizen. Tell me what the fear is there. He said he was threatened by the teen. This law in Florida introduces a whole new gray area. A whole new gray area. Is this self-defense? How scared are you that now citizens can shoot you in the back while you're running away, saying that they fear for their lives? Citizens can shoot you in the back while you're running away. And if citizens can do this, you think we'll ever be able to hold a cop accountable for shooting somebody in the back while running away? If the standard is that you can? It's the dehumanizing. 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 Of our culture. Of our citizens. Of our worldview. We have a dehumanizing worldview going on, percolating here, cooking here in the cities, or in the United States of America. And it should be of grave concern to you. So when you see, when you hear people like Karl Rove instructing his fellow Republican operatives that the way that we address, we the Republicans, from their perspective, address the Al Zarqawi killing, we don't say it's all good, it's great for the nation. That's from their perspective. We got one of the bad guys. Republicans are supposed to spin this as they don't have the will to kill like we do. We have a vice president that shoots at anything walking, and a president that drops a bomb on folks in a New York second and turns off the light, rolls over, and goes straight to sleep. Sleeps like a baby. We ain't afraid to kill. We're not sending any of our family over there to be killed. But from our armchairs, we ain't afraid to kill. That's the world that we're living in. And what's the consequence of that ideology? What's the consequence of that worldview? We're all dehumanized as a result of it. We are all dehumanized as a result of it. 1-877-920-WGNU. Oops, I gave out the phone number. We're having trouble with our phone lines this morning. So if you're having a little trouble getting in this morning, it's because we're having problems with our phone lines. We hope to have them fixed real soon. So I understand. You want to get in, you want to make a comment, and I give out the number. But we're having problems with our phone lines right now. So I apologize for that technical difficulties, don't you know? And we hope to have those fixed real soon. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about, much to do, much to tend to, much to address. And we're going to get all of that done and a whole lot more. Please don't forget that Saturday, the Urban Institute, it's going to be a working session. This Saturday it's going to be a working session. We're going to be dealing with the voter ID bill, but we're also largely going to be working on our cards, the cards that we are putting together for to ask candidates. We're going to be working on our fourth senatorial district cards for the race, and we're also going to be working on our other general cards. We need you there. This is a working session, Irene J. Smith and myself, this Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire building. Don't look for a firehouse. It's just a regular building. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Be there for the Urban Institute when we gather together and work again on our candidate ID, our candidate card. So be there this Saturday at 9 o'clock. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
What happens when you're absolutely honest with yourself as well as with others? What if it feels that you're being affected by someone else's dishonesty? Find out what our guests learned about the power of truthfulness and how it can make a difference in our lives on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
rise up, rise up, everybody gotta rise up, come follow me, rise up, rise up, it's the mass, I've got to rise up, you got to rise up, rise up, everybody gotta rise up, yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back. Rise up, rise up. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Anybody remember Katrina? It's been 9 months since Katrina. There are people, and this is on the front page of the New York Times. 9 months after Katrina, people are still living in 240 square feet. If you were to fly over rural Hancock County in Lakeshore, Mississippi, you would see 9,000 white rectangles clumped in parks, scattered in piney woods like pieces of a trashed picket fence. And you pick any one of those 9,000 white rectangles, and you would find a family inside of that. And they describe in this article one family that's living in 240 square feet. Paulette Shayu, her husband Hugh, her son Cody. They live in this 240 square feet trailer. I mean, think about it. We thought of it. If you can just take a moment out of your day to reflect upon how people are existing. Just a moment, just one little minute. When you say the word trailer, what do you think of? We're not talking about the types of trailers that you see rock stars pull up in on their way to another concert venue. These are light metal boxes. 240 square feet, a refrigerator, a stove, and families. I'm looking at this picture of Paula Chayo. She has her husband. She has her teenage son. She has a pregnant daughter. She has another baby and another adult all living in this. All living in this 240 square feet trailer. And 9,000 other people live in the same way. And she can't, and we're not talking about New Orleans. We're not talking about New Orleans. Her husband is a 6'2" man. He stretches out his arms to demonstrate how he can simultaneously touch the ceiling of the trailer with the tip of one hand and the floor of the trailer with the tip of the other hand. Tell me,
Could you live for 9 months in that, in under those circumstances and not go crazy? The hangers in the small closet have to be tilted sideways to fit. And there's a fan, because you have to have a fan, because if you slide the door shut for privacy, there is no air conditioning. These are the conditions that they are living under. 9 months later. And then juxtapose next to this story of how people are living in these teeny tiny trailers. Teeny tiny thin metal trailers. They have the story of the fraud that took place in the wake of the hurricanes. And I think that if we're going to talk about fraud, we need to talk about the incompetence of FEMA. How do you do that? Why? And we have to make certain that FEMA is the entity, is the organization where the blame falls. And we must resist the urge to talk about the people as opposed to, or to define this in terms of a people. When this is about an entity. This is about an entity. As much as $1.4 billion in governmental disaster aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina and Rita, nearly a quarter of the total went to bogus or undeserving victims. We're hearing the howling from the elected officials that this is worse. It's shocking and appalling. What do you bet the efforts will be to pursue the people that stole, that took advantage of? And I can hear some of you out there right now. Well, why shouldn't there be an effort to go after them? Well, and because when Halliburton stole, we didn't hear the desire to go after and get Halliburton. We laid the blame at the feet of the Defense Department that overpaid them. We laid that at that feet, but we didn't go after those that took the stuff, that sold the $15 cans of Coke. That's stealing every day, isn't it? I guarantee you we will have pictures of the people that took advantage of this program. How many of you have ever seen a photograph of the chairman of Halliburton? Brown and Root, any of these other organizations that have so ripped us off to the tune of billions of dollars in no bid contracts. Watch how this is played, because it will speak volumes. It will speak volumes about us, about this administration, and about who this nation is. We will see the pictures of those. I don't have a problem with looking at people that have done wrong. The question is it about the crime? Or is it about those that stand accused of a crime? And will FEMA come out of this as damaged as the person that spent $200 for a bottle of Dom Perignon and Girls Gone Wild videos? Who will come out of this more damaged, more marked, more remembered? The Girls Gone Wild person or FEMA? The findings that were released yesterday were, and they were, these findings were articulated by Gregory Kutz of the GAO. He refrained from giving an estimate of the total of the fraud, other than to say perhaps millions of dollars were at stake when he talked about it in February. The more precise estimate comes after a detailed examination of a random sample of the 250 of the $2.6 million payments made as of February. Investigators visited properties claimed as damaged and checked to see if applicants had submitted multiple claims or invalid or false Social Security numbers. The investigators also tested the system by creating their own fake applications, and they collected a total of $6,000 in disaster assistance. The checks were never cashed. So the investigators concluded, as a result of these 250 samplings, that fraudulent or improper payments probably range from $400 million to $1.4 billion, leading them to settle on $1 billion as their most likely estimate, representing about 16% of the distributed aid. Families that were eligible for up to a total of $26,000 in aid. So what we have is a guesstimation based upon 250 cases that the GAO investigated. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. So my question again becomes, who are we going to hear more about? FEMA or the dude that bought the Girls Gone Wild videos? Who are we going to hear more about and why? Please don't forget that on Saturday at 9 a.m., the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself, at 1020 North Taylor, be there Saturday morning. There will be a continental breakfast. You need to be there. And I will see you then. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else are you going to be able to shop and get incredible things for your father for Father's Day? Right there at Sears and Union and Natural Bridge. That's right, we're talking about, how about a big screen television? How about, does he need a treadmill? They've got them. Does he need some tools? They've got those too. How about a tractor to make his mowing life experience a little better? Come on, get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Great deals. You're going to get great deals when you go down there. It's great location and it's incredible customer service. Get something wonderful for your dad for Father's Day. Get your shop on at Union and Natural Bridge, Sears, and tell him I told you to.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Cape Town. Officials in South Africa say there will be a critical teacher shortage in 2 years if nothing is done to bring new educators into the profession. That's considering a teacher-to-student ratio of 35 to 1, which is still high. The study by the Human Sciences Research Council says it is unlikely that target numbers for teachers can be met over the next few years. Teachers have disappeared because of resignation, death, and retirement, and the numbers in math and science are even more critical. Steps have been implemented to allow for performance pay and accelerated salary structures to try and attract new teachers, as well as keep those that are currently working. Like most other situations, the shortage will first affect the poorer and rural schools, while wealthier ones will be more likely to keep their staff. An education spokesman for South Africa says society needs to put a higher value on teachers because low pay is pushing them out of the middle class. The country is also losing well-qualified instructors to better jobs overseas. And Dateline Algiers. The United States is going to spend some $500 million over the next 5 years to fight terrorism in Saharan Africa, a place dubbed as the Wild West of the World Terrorism Front. The program is called the Trans-Sahara Counterterrorism Initiative and will be providing military advisors, equipment, and development funds to 9 Saharan countries where it is believed militant Islamist groups are most likely to use them to train fighters and engage in other activities to promote their causes. This move comes after the failed attempt by the United States to gain control of Somalia by supporting a coalition of warlords who were anti-Islamist. Last week, the warlords lost control of the capital city of Mogadishu to hardline Islamic rebels who have vowed to establish an Islamic state. Observers say the only difference with this plan for the Sahara is that instead of warlords, the leaders are dictators. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the
engineer would move. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Cafeteria line in Chicago. Fat man in front of me. Calling black people trash to his children. And he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. Hard life, wherever you go. And if we poison our children,
oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. And we are having some trouble with our phone line, so if you can't get in, we're not trying to keep you out. We're having some technical difficulties. Hopefully we will have those resolved soon. So I apologize for not having any of the Liz Brown Because We Care package contests. But we're going to give it away tomorrow. So try to call in tomorrow and see if you can get in the pool for the giveaway. And a lot of you know that listen to the show. One of the things that I try to do constantly is to raise the alarm about what's coming down the pike. Know what we're going to be fighting for, fighting about. Know what we're going to be addressing. And we have to know who's out there fighting for us, who's fighting against us, who's not fighting at all, and what we are going to do about it. I talked earlier in the week about the Take Back America conference that took place in Washington, D.C. Arianna Huffington wrote a column about Hillary and Kerry bring me to tears on Iraq. Arianna Huffington talked about how she watched John Kerry's speech at the Take Back America conference. She said, I got ready to cry because if he had given that speech in 2004, he would be in the White House today and the world would be a better and safer place. Then Arianna Huffington said she watched Hillary Clinton's speech, and it was deja vu all over again. Her language, Hillary's language on Iraq, was replete with the same equivocation that cost Kerry the last election. I do not think, said Hillary Clinton at the Take Back America conference, as a keynoter at the Take Back America conference, I do not think it's a smart strategy for the president to commit to an open-ended commitment. Which I think does not put enough pressure on our government, nor do I think it is a smart strategy to set a date certain. Huh? Is that the second coming of I voted for it before I voted against it? Arianna Huffington asked the determining question, the only question about these people that want to lead this nation. When will the Democratic folks ever learn that this kind of habit both ways on matters of war and security, it is electoral death. Voters have instinctively get it. Something in our guts, the voters' guts, tell us that if a leader can't take a stand and state what their heartfelt beliefs are on such life and death matters, then we won't be safe. When it comes to their security, people don't want finely parsed calculations stated with confidence. They want confidence, even misguided confidence, like Bush. Listening to Hillary, says Arianna Huffington, you could almost see, feel, experience the cold calculation hanging like the smell of gunpowder after a shooting. According to Arianna Huffington, Hillary has said, I can't take a position against the war and be electable. So her plan is to seduce the audience of progressive about talking about all the things. And then bringing it up at the very, very, very end of her speech. So all of her criticism of Bush came at the end of her speech. The Democrats, according to Arianna Huffington, have utterly failed to take advantage of Bush being down in the polls. He's gaining some traction following the killing. He's at a photo op stop, hop visit to Baghdad, his upbeat, nationally televised Rose Garden press conference. And instead of giving him breathing room, the Democrats need to knee him where he's most vulnerable, and that is in Iraq. Arianna Huffington says that Democrats are not going to win if they keep getting dazzled by her star power so much to blind Democrats to how fatal her calculating, triangulating, inauthentic stance on the war can be and is. My name is Liz Brown. These are troubled times. You need to stand. And I think that some of our candidates in these local races are finding the same thing, that they are not getting embraced by local voters the way that they should be, because they're not standing on the issues. They are not standing on the issues. They're triangulating. They are calculating. They are putting their finger to the wind and saying, okay, if I'm going south, this is what I'm going to say. If I'm going north, this is what I am going to say. Please don't forget that we have a Urban Institute meeting on Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire building. It's not a firehouse. It's 1020 North Taylor. Come on out and join Irene J. Smith and myself. Also, here's a wonderful opportunity, speaking of fire, their fourth annual golf tournament is Saturday, this Saturday at the Grand Marias Golf Club. This is the Fire Charitable Fund. $70 gets you in. That's a green fee, a cart, tournament prizes, food and beverages. Can't beat that. There are just a few more spots left. You need to call Guy Jennings at 393-3231, 393-3231. Fire's Charitable Fund, fourth annual golf tournament this Saturday at the Grand Marias Golf Club. Go on down. And if you have any questions, call 393-3231. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease.